using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, the 8th of October, year of our Lord, 2021, day 573 of America held hostage of our new world order. Well, today we're going to have Gerald Celente on as our guest, and we're going to talk about the economic takedown that continues to roll and to escalate. And we're also going to take a look at new revelations from Project Veritas that are going to have implications for people's religious exemptions, or at least they should. We'll just put it that way. At least they should. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Talk first today about vaccine mandates, and I got an email from someone, a listener, who responded to what I had to say about the fact that they were going after Toronto's transit workers, and I kind of lumped them together with a lot of people who are at entry-level positions. And I said how repulsive it is to me that these Democrats who are supposedly there for the little man, and we know how fraudulent that is, are doing this. He goes, this is actually a very courageous step that's being taken for these transit workers, because that's actually a very good job, very high-paying job. And this former Toronto transit worker said bus, trolley, streetcar, subway. He and his wife moved to Florida just in time. Well, that's a real blessing. He said, I can assure you that a driver's job with the Toronto Transit Commission is both high-paying and coveted. When I left, I was making $28 an hour U.S. plus overtime. I understand they're up to they're a little bit more now, $37 Canadian. He said, I worked alongside coworkers who came from different careers. I can't tell you how many times I asked one of them, why are you driving a bus or whatever vehicle? He said, in Toronto, you'll find former cops, nurses, engineers, even former radio news reporters. Except I'm not going to be going there because I'm not going to be getting the job. So, but he said, when they publish the list of employees who make over $79,000 per year, U.S., they said it's known as the Sunshine List. And he said, like other drivers, I used to enjoy going over the list to see which drivers were on it and which of my supervisors were not on it. And so he said, this is a courageous stand that's being taken by these people. They've got a job they don't want to lose. I mean, they stand to lose a good-paying job. And I have to say that, you know, even an entry-level position that we're looking at, even if it is a job where you've got minimum wage at a fast food place, you're probably taking that because you really need that job. It isn't, it's a courageous thing for people to take a stand one way or the other, because there are social issues. You know, we're being ostracized in society as well. But the less you make, it's probably even more important for you to have that job. So it's not even a difference of scale, and I wasn't trying to denigrate anybody's jobs doing this. But the thing that bothers me, we went to a restaurant a couple of weeks ago to celebrate an occasion, and it bothered me to see people who were wearing masks, the servers. Nobody in the restaurant was wearing masks, only the servers were wearing masks. Now, this seems like some kind of a domination trip. I don't like this at all. It makes me very uncomfortable. I feel like I'm dominating other people. And I've been thinking about that since. I think if I have another occasion to go to a restaurant and I see this kind of stuff happening, I'm going to walk in, and when I see them, I'm going to say, is this a policy? Look, I understand if somebody is genuinely afraid because they watch CNN, Fox News, and stuff, and they're genuinely afraid and they want to wear masks. I don't have a problem with that if you want to do it. I have a problem with people being forced to do anything like that as a condition of their job. And I had a problem with the mask in the very beginning because I understood that it was a placeholder for the vaccines. You got to wear this mask to protect other people. Well, no, you don't. If the mask works, you wear it and you're protected. Now, we know the masks don't work. But I knew it was a placeholder. It was establishing the precedent that we can tell you to do something, even though you know it's not good, even though you know it's not only does it not protect you, but it's got negative health effects because you're having to wear this thing all day. It's depriving you of oxygen. It's keeping bacteria close up to your face that are very filthy. And then after you have submitted to that and gotten used to that, then we're going to go the next step and we're going to tell you to get a vaccine, which is not effective. And it's not safe. As a matter of fact, it causes health issues. Same thing. Just taking it up a notch. And so the masks were a preparation. As long as I'm going to have the situation, probably won't go out to eat anywhere anymore. Certainly not around here. When I go into a restaurant, if I see people wearing a mask, I'm going to ask the manager, I'm going to say, is this policy? Well, if it's policy, I just want you to know I'll not be eating at your restaurant ever again. If you're going to dominate your employees like that. I've had that argument with restaurant owners when this stuff began over a year ago, you know, in the spring of and summer of 2020. They started requiring us to wear a mask to walk 5 feet and sit down, and then we could take it off for 2 hours. I said, you realize that this is insanity. Yeah, but you just have to do it. We have to do it. We have to comply with them. I said, no, you don't. So you're selling the rope that's going to be used to hang you, as Lenin said. And I'm not going to play along with this little ritual. I'm not going to put on a mask to walk 5 feet to set a table and then take it off for 2 hours. I'm not playing that charade. So he goes on to say, as an aside, one of his former coworkers used to be a paramedic in England in Saskatchewan before getting behind the wheel in Toronto. He said, years ago, another coworker suffered a heart attack and was taken to the Niagara General Hospital in Niagara Falls. Ontario, where all of us lived, he said he was subsequently sent home by the hospital. The driver, who had been a paramedic before, actually got a chance to look at the sick driver's EKG, and being a former paramedic, he knew what to look for. He was outraged that the man was merely sent home. He should have been immediately transported to the nearest trauma center in either Hamilton or Buffalo. Canadian ambulances in the Niagara region routinely crossed the border. Get the patient to the nearest hospital capable of saving their life because they had government-controlled health care in Canada. So you take them to the U.S. Because the capacity was better, because the equipment was better than you're going to have with a government-run system. But the government has been intruding itself into our hospital system for quite some time, and now we're getting the full socialized medicine treatment. Anyway, he said... So I call it an indictment, if you will, when a bus driver is correctly second-guessing a doctor in Canada's public health care system. Unfortunately, the man died a few days later. That's right. And before I get into the news, let me just, while I'm on some listeners' letters, this is about the vaccine control group bracelet that was sent to me a few months ago. I showed it. I thought it was great. You can find that at controlgroup.fyi. I thought it was a great way to troll these people. And I have a listener who said, I ordered a few of those myself. He said, I subsequently purchased the following Do Not Vaccinate bracelets, which are more durable. And that you can find those at Amazon.com. They're being sold. So just search for Do Not Vaccinate bracelets in Amazon search thing. And he said, I also found a group, Vax Control Group, vaxcontrolgroup.com. And they have a mission statement, and they say, we are a team of passionate individuals working together as a cooperative to staunchly defend our inalienable rights of freedom of choice and bodily integrity. Through the control group's website and associated forums, we provide a platform where all members can maintain their health data and unite with a like-minded community to remain informed and empowered. And as a cooperative, our project is funded by our associate members, and so they put this together. And you can get a card from them. You can sign up and get a personal profile for free. And you've got an official-looking card with a picture and a QR code. And it says on there, must not be vaccinated. This person is a registered participant in the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine control group. So there you go. That's your other card. Your other card. And it looks very official, I got to say. And then finally, I got two more letters. This is from an update from the EMS listener who was talking about the endoscopy patient who respirated a lot of vomit and filled up lungs, and he was absolutely amazed that instead of and went into cardiac arrest, and so then they take him in and do a PCR test or COVID test on him. But he said, the point I wanted to make was that this 30-year-old guy who had respirated a lot of vomit because of this endoscopy that was being done, where they're putting some kind of a scope or something down his throat. He said, it's specifically centered around the most dangerous part of the body, according to Fauci and friends, his face. So he said, don't you think instead of stopping all the procedures to help him when he goes into cardiac arrest, don't you think that they would, and then doing a test, don't you think they would have done that test before they started? Because, I mean, you know, they're going to be in his face and everything. He says, it's absolutely unbelievable. And he said, and he died. He died. So he says, yet in the ER, there was a scramble to test him again. Unbelievable. He said, later that day, I had a male in his 50s with a heart rate over 200 beats per minute. He made the mistake of telling the ER staff that he wasn't vaccinated. Immediately, he was berated, and the nurses exasperatingly declared, we have to wear an N95 around this one in front of the patient, as if somehow his vax status made him a danger or made him less than human. This one indeed. So, you know, maybe the best thing you could do instead of getting the vaccine control group card, that's one way to handle it. But then you're also going to get that treatment where they don't want to treat you. And you may want to just say, yeah, sure I am. I would have absolutely no moral issues at all to save the life of a family member or to save my life, to tell these people making unreasonable demands. Oh, yeah, I'm vaccinated, sure. It said Pfizer on the bottle, I think that's what it was called. Yeah, something like that, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got it multiple times, yeah. I think they had the booster, too. What do you think the midwives told Pharaoh when they saved Moses from being killed? That unreasonable, immoral order that was given. What do you think they said about that? So finally, while running errands today, he said, I had talk radio playing Mark Arum of 95.5 WSB Radio in Atlanta, a Fox station. He was pushing the vaccine hard. Well, that may be. So it's a Fox station. His angle was that fetal cell involvement was like Joseph in Genesis. He says it's something that man meant for evil, but God meant for good. And that's what the Bible says in terms of Joseph. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. And he went to, as he was a slave, he started doing well. Then he was falsely accused by his master's wife, put into prison, and so forth. But eventually, and we won't go into the whole story of Joseph, but eventually he was put into a position of great power and authority. And he was able to help the rest of his family when a famine came through the land. And everybody was being enslaved because they were selling, they ran out of all their possessions to try to get money from Pharaoh, to try to eat from Pharaoh. I would say that's the lesson right there. And I would say that not cooperating with an evil industry is the lesson for us, that you resist evil in all forms. You do not cooperate it in order to get good. As he points out, he was selling this in justifies the means situation. And he went on to say, you know, well, vaccines are a gift from the God that I serve. And as this listener says, well, it's not the God that I serve. It absolutely isn't. But he said, as he started talking about the cell lines, he went back and revisited this false narrative that we've debunked now First time I heard it, I said, well, you know, so they're saying a lot of very common drugs were developed with these cell lines. Well, thanks for letting me know. I won't use those anymore. But the reality is that was a lie. Virtually every one of those drugs was in use, widespread use, in many cases, for decades, even a century, some of them like aspirin, before these cell lines were even developed. So they were not developed based on these fetal cell lines that we're going to be talking more about with this Project Veritas expose. They were not. It was not possible that that would play any part in their development. It was a lie because the guy went back and he looked to see that people had done some subsequent testing after they had these cell lines. And so when he did his search and he found a connection there, he just put it in there. Now, maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was just naive. But that's been thoroughly debunked as a lie. If it were true, then I think that I would just pass on those drugs and say thank you for letting me know. But it's not even true, but they're still selling that lie. So that is the deception that is rolling out. And then finally, one last thing as we're talking about drugs. this is from a listener who says, Dr. Dimitri Katz has discovered niacin and melatonin truly work COVID, long-haul COVID and vaccine reactions. He calls the protocol niatonin. He's not selling anything. You can get the niacin, which is, you know, the vitamin B flush. You can get that anywhere. You can get melatonin anywhere. You can even get melatonin in pistachios. I didn't know that. I've used melatonin in the past to try to get over jet lag. I don't really have that problem anymore because I don't travel on jets. I won't be ever traveling on jets anymore. But, you know, melatonin is a natural hormone that your body produces. And as you get older, your body produces less of it. It's one of the reasons why you don't sleep as soundly and you start to lose the rhythm. When everything's working good, you know, melatonin gets produced with your natural body rhythms, and it helps to put you to sleep and give you a deeper sleep. I didn't know you could get that from pistachios. But anyway, he says he's helping thousands, including my family, but he's banned almost everywhere. Find the community and the information at, it's on Telegram, at Vaccine Reversal. So that's just some information. I'm not selling any of this stuff. Just the disclaimer for the FDA goons out there who will excuse toxic vaccines but will come after anybody for saying anything about anything natural. So I'm not selling niacin. I'm not selling melatonin. I'm not even selling pistachios. big pharmaceutical company is green with envy over people helping themselves with pistachios, if that is indeed a fact. And I don't know that that's true. I'm just passing that on as a hearsay. Disclaimer. We have Pfizer, of course, pushing to do these vaccines on kids. And I think one of the most reprehensible things that I've seen is this partnership with media and government, partnership with media and big pharmaceutical companies. And, of course, you can understand it, just like that radio host who's working for Fox News in Atlanta. That's where they make their money. They've been making their money there from the very beginning. You know, these Ask Your Doctor commercials happened in the mid-90s. That's about the time as you might have seen the picture of Sean Hannity 25 years ago on the Drudge Report. Wow. about the time Fox News started. And that's about the time the Ask Your Doctor commercials started. Because I'd never seen any of them. We had moved to a remote area in North Carolina where we had no cable, and we had no TV reception of any kind. What a blessing that was. That's why I look at, you know, a lot of times God will take things out of your life. It's like, well, this is going to be a bit of a problem. No, it was great. It was great. No television at all. Get our news other ways. that was about the time that all this stuff happened, because as we traveled and had not been watching television, we go and check into a motel room and we flip on the TV. And all these cable channels are doing these Ask Your Doctor things. I thought, that's really strange. Wow, that's really strange, especially, you know, the long list of side effects that they read out very rapidly at the end with the slow motion pictures of running through the field. Somebody else is doing that. The cognitive dissonance of all that. And the dissonance in the message as well, because many times one of the major side effects that they're telling you about is that it makes the condition that you're taking it for actually worse, if you notice, if you're paying attention to those things. So that's been right at the center of all the news, even Fox News from the very beginning. And so this shameless prostitution that is happening with the press is very evident with the Associated Press. And AP, I would say that what AP really stands for anymore is not Associated Press. These are people who are associated with propaganda. AP's headline, Pfizer's request to okay shots for kids is a relief for parents. Now, don't tell me that this isn't pure propaganda, even in the headline. Of course, they're going to find some parents who say, oh, that's great. I really, you know, they've been watching CNN and Fox News. They really buy into that. Oh, that's great. Now we can do whatever we want to again, right? And where have they been? Even the mainstream media, the leftist press, was complaining months ago when they said, whoa, we got all vaxxed up and now you're telling us we still can't go anywhere. We still got to social distance. We still got to wear masks. What's going on with this? Remember that? All these liberal hosts that were getting very angry on MSNBC and CNN and all these other places. And so now they're holding this out and saying, if you inject the Jonestown Kool-Aid into your children, then now you have freedom again. Understand that freedom wasn't taken away from you last year because of a virus. Freedom is not being taken away from you this year because of the unvaccinated people. Freedom is being taken away from you because of politicians who sold out to the globalist agenda that's been there for decades. The virus and the unvaccinated did not take away your freedom. The politicians did. Isn't it amazing how they can masterfully redirect you to a different enemy? If regulators give the go-ahead, reduced dose kids shots could begin within a matter of weeks. See, it isn't whether or not they're safe, but if the regulators give it the go-ahead. I just have to wonder what the purpose of the FDA is anymore, other than shutting down the competitors of big pharmaceutical companies. I mean, they become a laughingstock if you stop and think about it. These people are the little lapdogs. They do everything that Pfizer tells them, everything that Moderna tells them, everything that Johnson & Johnson, any of these companies. We have a new drug, says Merck, and we can make about $7 billion, and we determined that it's safe. We tested it for 30 days. We determined it's safe, and so I want you to approve this. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right away, sir, says the FDA. My son asked me about playing sports. After you're vaccinated, we told him. He asked about seeing his cousins again. After you're vaccinated, we told him. A lot of our plans are on hold, said Sarah Staffier of Waterville, Maine, whose seven-year-old has a rare immune disease that has forced the family to be extra cautious throughout the pandemic. By the way, did he get that rare immune disease because he took some childhood vaccines? Oh, that would be, we don't want to go there, right? When he's vaccinated, it would give our family our lives back. Isn't this sad? It's so sad. They really believe this. And, of course, it's being used by the Associated Propaganda. These are the people who put out preferred terms. Remember, for every political issue, whether it's immigration or whether it's abortion, you name it, they have crafted the terms to be used by the press. And if you want the Associated Press to push your article along, you will toe their political line. You will have their perspective on the issue, and you will use their terms because their terms are selected. The terms that they use to talk, they don't talk about abortion. Don't say that you're pro-life. No, you're anti-abortion rights, and if you don't put that in your story, well, we're not going to pass it along. Don't talk about people who are illegal aliens, even if you write a story about how the Democrats want to make it legal. Well, they're not illegal aliens. You call them undocumented migrants, or else you won't get your story passed along. So they said it's now being seen, vaccinating five-year-olds is now being seen as another milestone in the fight against the virus. No, it's another milestone in the race for obscene profits. And they're going to, they said it would, if we could get the five-year-olds vaccinated, that would push us ahead of much of the rest of the world. Ahead of what? some arbitrary nonsense percentage number? I mean, this is, they've picked this metric in terms of the percentage vaccinated, and they've made this like some kind of a phony Olympics event or something. It's ridiculous, the propaganda that is being sold to us. As they shut down science, they shut down debate, they shut down critical thinking, and they do it with the power of propaganda, because that's why they started working years ago, to shut down the truth, to shut down inquiry, to shut down real journalism. 9-year-old who lives in Philadelphia, looking forward to visiting her grandmother without worrying that she will give the older woman COVID. She's excited because she thinks it's her responsibility. See how twisted this is? I mean, should we tell them? These are people who have not been told, evidently, by AP and by Fox News and CNN, that Walensky at the CDC said this last week. She said that it doesn't do anything about transmission, right? And it doesn't. It doesn't. It makes absolutely no difference. But we're going to, again, you know, if grandma is double-vaxxed, and the 9-year-old is double vaxxed, and she can still transmit it, no problem whatsoever, they say. And, you know, Walensky says you can still transmit this, but don't worry because your vaccine will protect you. Well, it doesn't. That's not true either. So if she's double vaxxed and she gives it to grandma because she has no risk from this at all, and grandma dies, guess who's going to be blamed? They'll get on the phone, they'll call the Associated Propagandist at AP, and they will blame the unvaccinated. We want to be able to resume some normal activities. Well, do it. You don't need anybody's permission, and you're being gaslighted. An elementary school principal in West Virginia said it's been a rough start to the year because they've had so many children that are testing positive. Are these children sick, or is this just more PCR tyranny? Still, she said, she often hears parents say that they're more concerned about the effects of the vaccine than COVID-19 because the kids aren't getting sick. You know, you're swabbing them up and masking them up. While kids are at a lower risk of severe illness or death, says the Associated Propagandists, COVID-19 does sometimes kill children, at least 520 so far in the U.S. Well, no, that's actually not true either. The Johns Hopkins scientist who went through and said, we investigated every single one of these reports, and we didn't find a single child who died from COVID. They died from other comorbidities. They died with COVID. They died with a diagnosis from a useless PCR test that is not even looking for a particular virus. They've got 59 different PCR tests, as the FDA said. We can't compare their efficacy to each other. We got 59 of them. They're all looking for something different. Some of them are looking for partial mRNA. Some of them are looking for full mRNA. Some of them we synthesized mRNA. And this is a sequence that we haven't isolated. So they said younger children should get 1/3 dose now, says Pfizer. See, they're dictating this. It's not the FDA. There's no studies being done. This is Pfizer saying, well, you know, we'll cut it down by 1/3. Why are they doing that? They're doing this for self-preservation. Let me tell you, if they start giving these injections, they're giving full-dose injections to the teenagers. They're giving full-dose injections to the 12-year-olds. For the 5 to 11s, all of a sudden, that magic year, you know, from 11 to 12, well, we'll cut it down by 1/3. It's too strong for anybody. It's a toxin, by the way, for anybody to take it. I mean, you shouldn't be taking any of this stuff. But they're going to cut it down because, you know, if we start having 5-year-olds dying of heart attacks right after they've been vaccinated, these people will end up with their heads on pikes, literally, literally. So you better believe they're going to cut that dose just out of self-preservation. In a California county, no mask mandate. Another county where they have a mask mandate, they get more positive tests. So there's no justification for the mask placeholder either. So they compared Orange County, two big counties, Orange County and L.A. County. And in Orange County, they tested out as 5 people per 100,000 tested positive on the PCR test. And in L.A., 9 cases per 100,000. In the first place, if this were a deadly pathogen, And if you had an accurate test for it, and on and on and on, is this something we should be concerned about when you got 5 people out of 100,000? Or in the case of L.A., which has now become the leading county in the country in terms of enforcing mandates and lockdowns and all the rest of this superstition. 9 cases of this per 100,000? When you got a 99.9% chance that you're not going to die from this, even if you're elderly? Come on. How could they justify any of this stuff? And yet, look at what is happening. Is it any surprise that you would see twice the number of positive tests in a county where they're mandating masks everywhere? I would say that it is because they're getting a higher viral load because they're wearing that filthy mask in front of their face all the time. But when they look at this on Western Journal, they say, well, what does this mean? We don't know what this means. We don't know how to interpret this because this goes against what our experts are saying and what the conventional wisdom is. Well, they go through all kinds of hoops to avoid the obvious critical thinking conclusions. They said, well, we don't really know what this means. It could be that people are voluntarily wearing the masks, and maybe these things aren't connected. Maybe the fact that it's twice the number of cases where they're wearing the mask, maybe that has nothing to do with it. That's a pretty big difference. But they said, nevertheless, vaccines are what we need. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They quickly pivot to vaccines and say, well, vaccines are what we need, one way or the other. And they said, we need to, and then they start quoting Gavin Newsom on Western Journal. Gavin Newsom admitted as much in summer when he implemented a statewide mask mandate in response to the Delta surge. If we continue to get people vaccinated, all this will be unnecessary. And this is the call that anyone who hasn't been vaccinated must get vaccinated. So there you go. It doesn't matter. No matter how ridiculous their prescriptions are, social distancing, the masking, and all this, no matter how many times you show that it not only doesn't work, but it makes things worse, well, the answer is always the vaccine. It always is a vaccine. Let's take a quick look at this Project Veritas expose. This is the latest one. This is number 5, and I think this is the best whistleblower they've had yet. This is an individual, Melissa Strickler, who is a manufacturing auditor with a company. And she got emails that she shared with Project Veritas from some people that are very, very high up in the organization, talking about how they need to shut down any discussion of association with aborted fetal tissue.
I work at a pharmaceutical company. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just believe in research and science.
Well, in this database, you came across a chain of emails discussing fetal tissue and the COVID vaccine. Vanessa Gelman, who works in Washington, D.C., is Senior Director of Worldwide Research. The question came up as an inquiry to our MedInfo group. They're asking, quote, did Pfizer make use of a cell line from an aborted fetus?
They want you to leave out the highlighted part, which is the one or more cell lines with an origin that can be traced back to human fetal tissue has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program.
And here we have your badge. You are an employee of Pfizer?
I work at the McPherson, Kansas plant. It's one of the biggest plants in the operation of Pfizer. We produce some of the most units.
This message from Vanessa Gilman.
From the perspective of corporate affairs, we want to avoid having the information on the fetal cell lines floating out there. We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit that we could see, particularly with general members of the public who may take this information and use it in ways we may not want it out there. We have not received any questions from policymakers or media on this issue in the last few weeks, so we want to avoid raising this if possible.
Wow. We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit we could see. They ought to put that on American currency. Philip Dormitzer, Vice President, Chief Scientific Officer. These are not low-level people here. So you're showing us emails between the Vice President of Pfizer, the Senior Director of Worldwide Research, mm-hmm. about how to couch it a certain way, because we would not want to tell the people that it can be traced back to human fetal tissue. Copying Vanessa Gelman, we have an approved answer to this question, the question being about fetal tissue, mm-hmm. which Vanessa can probably provide, HEK2932. What does that mean, HEK?
Human embryo kidney cells, and okay. It was from experiment 293.
They've used cells from aborted fetuses.
Yes.
And they don't want the public to know that.
Yes.
That's staggering for society because of what you said, religious exemptions. Mm-hmm.
And they're denying our religious exemptions at Pfizer.
This is serious stuff you're dealing with. These are powerful people and a very powerful company.
They're withholding knowledge on people's approval if they can consent or not.
From Sarah Elizabeth Weiser, the principal scientist.
She's just making sure, you know, just be clear, you would like medical information to reply with the text in red below, including the highlighted section.
Okay.
Thanks again. And then they responded with,
no, I would prefer that we do not use the text in yellow.
They're being so deceptive in their emails, it's almost like it is in the final vaccine. It just made me not trust it.
Yeah, when we look at this, and they're talking about HEK, right? And that's a cell line taken from a kidney of aborted baby. Isn't it interesting, as I talked about yesterday, you have not just the one hospital system in Colorado, but you have another hospital system in Washington State. They're saying, we're not going to do any transplants for anybody who's not vaccinated. And the one in Colorado, you have the woman, and she has a friend that she met at a Bible study about 8 or 10 months ago. And the friend is going to donate a kidney for her so she can live. And both the donor and the recipient have to have the vaccines, they say. Neither one of them want to get it because they're concerned about the ethical issues of this kind of cannibal medicine. But isn't it ironic that the fetal cell lines derived from an aborted baby's kidney are keeping this woman from getting a kidney transplant? And so as you heard, Melissa Strickler, manufacturing auditor, she said they're being deceptive about it. I don't feel comfortable being silent about this. I think this is the most relevant one yet for people because of this mandate being front and center in all of this. So the quotes that you saw there from Gelman, who is Senior Director for Worldwide Research, Development, and Medical Communications for Pfizer. This is a very high-ranking Pfizer individual. Senior Director for Research and Development, R&D. And that's when they used the cell lines in research and development. And he said, we tried really hard not to share this unless it's strictly necessary and mission critical. One or more cell lines that can be traced back to human fetal tissue have been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program. And so in response to that, you saw the other executives there saying that we need to shut this down. Vanessa Gelman, again, the Senior Director of Research and Development, encouraged staff to be very, very careful about talking about this. We've not received, as you heard, any questions from policymakers or media in the last few weeks. They don't want to talk about it. Religious leaders don't want to talk about it either, right? Oh, it's a gift from God. Just take it. They said, well, yeah, we did use them. Ultimately, they're derived from the aborted fetus, said the chief scientific officer. So this is the person who is a senior director of research and development, corresponding with Pfizer's chief scientific officer, Philippe Dormitzer. He admitted that the aborted fetus tissue was used in the company's vaccine program. He said, yeah, we use it. And it's derived from an aborted fetus. On the other hand, the Vatican Doctrinal Committee has confirmed they consider it to be acceptable for pro-life believers to be immunized. Well, let me just say that even those of you who are Catholic, when you stand before God, the Pope told me this is not going to be any excuse for anything. But the Pope told me. God will say, well, I told you a few things too. I wrote a book to you. Did you bother to read that? This Pope who has pushed as his top priority climate change, his climate change encyclical written by John Schellenhuber, a guy who has talked about how he wanted to depopulate the earth. He's one of these people that wants to take the population of the earth down by like 90%. He's right there, hand in glove with the Earth League, with Prince Charles, with this Pope. So, so you listen to these guys, the depopulationists, the people who say that humans are a virus. And now they literally mean that, of the people who have not gotten their Jonestown genetic injection. You are a virus. They're treating the unvaccinated now like a virus. Like I said, last year, everybody's got locked down because it's a virus. Well, it wasn't effective. It didn't make any difference, did it? According to what they're telling us now, no, we got to get the vaccine. And the people that are the threat to you, the people that are the virus this year, are the unvaccinated. And this has always been there as part of this radical climate agenda that the Pope is part of. It's really what is most radical about it is not just taking away all of the things that make your life better and longer. That's what they want to do. Take everything from you. They've been very clear about that. But it's about taking your life away. It's about taking your children away. That's what it's ultimately about. As I've said many times, when we went to the UK, took my family in 2001, early part of 2001. And we took them to the Children's Museum, and they were playing upstairs, and they had a loop that was going through, and it was putting out the Gaia theory. And it was about a 15-minute loop. And, you know, Gaia is Mother Earth. It's a pagan idea of Mother Earth. And the idea is that it is a living, sentient being. You hear Hollywood celebrities who are very, very serious about this. People like Jennifer Lawrence are always talking about Gaia. Mother Earth is very angry at us. See, we just had a hurricane in Tampa. That proves it. And what they were saying was that, you know, you have this wonderful living organism of flora and fauna, but the humans are a virus, and the humans virus, the number of us, needs to be controlled, if not eliminated. That's the bottom line. Always has been. Treating us as a virus, killing Mother Earth. And now they have combined this mentality. They've combined, as they redirected, the basis for them taking everything from us, including our lives and our children. They have now converged these two narratives as they're bringing back climate change. We'll be talking about that. And another email, they doubled down on being secretive about it. They said, we've been trying as much as possible not to mention the fetal cell lines. Don't tell anybody about it. At UC Irvine, the director of medical ethics has been placed on investigatory leave after challenging the vaccine mandate. Because, you know, we've taken leave of our ethics, haven't we? And we've taken leave of our morals. We've taken leave of the rule of law. We've taken leave of our senses. So this is Dr. Aaron Cariotti, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, has now been placed on investigatory leave. This is a very devious move by the university system there, as he pointed out. Because what they have done, and he said, I didn't anticipate this. He said, by challenging this, and his challenge is natural immunity versus vaccine. He said, people who have natural immunity should not be forced to get the vaccine. Well, that's just science. As a matter of fact, natural immunity is much, much better. And so he filed a lawsuit. He said, this violates the equal protection rights guaranteed under the Constitution's 14th Amendment. He said, natural immunity following COVID infection is equal to, indeed superior to, vaccine-mediated immunity. Thus, forcing those with natural immunity to be vaccinated introduces unnecessary risks without commensurate benefits, either to individuals or to the population as a whole. And, as I said, violates equal protection rights guaranteed under the 14th Amendment. Expert witness declarations in support of our case include a declaration from a distinguished UC School of Medicine faculty members from infectious disease, microbiology, immunology, cardiology, endocrinology, pediatrics, OBGYN, and psychiatry. And he summarized it by saying there is now considerable evidence that COVID-recovered individuals may be at higher risk of vaccine adverse effects compared to those who have not previously been infected. And he referenced many studies in that. So he says, not only do I have immunity, my immunity is superior. I've got a long list of scientists from many different disciplines and with studies. But also we know that it makes things worse for people if they get vaccinated after they have natural immunity. So here's how they responded. And it is very devious and effective. What they did by putting him on investigatory leave, he said, I didn't anticipate that they would do this. He said, it may sound like a good thing to think that you've been put on investigatory leave for a month because you're going to get paid, right? Paid leave. Well, he goes, it's not exactly like that. He said, half of my income comes from working in the university clinic and seeing patients, supervising resident clinics, engaging in weekend and holiday on-call duties. And he is being prohibited from doing that. So right there, they're taking half of his income. Okay, well, you do it somewhere else. And you see your patients private? No. His contract says that he can't see the patients anywhere else. So it specifically prohibits him from doing anything outside of the university. So he has some university, teaching things that he's doing there. And then the rest of his income comes from seeing patients, but he's not able to conduct any patient care outside the university. He said, clearly what they're doing is they're trying to put financial pressure on me to take me out. And he says, however, and then if he says if he resigns so that he can recover half of his income, then that ends the lawsuit. See how deviously clever that is? He says, however, I have no intention at this time of resigning, of withdrawing my lawsuit, or having an unnecessary medical intervention forced upon me. He said, although this is a challenging time for me and my family, at this time I remain convinced that this course of action is worthwhile. I am grateful for your ongoing encouragement, prayers, and support. This guy's a Christian, probably. He's not saying, send me your wonderful thoughts. That's why he's saying, prayers. I need your prayers. I want my readers to know that I'm taking legal action not primarily for myself, but for all those who have no voice and whose constitutional rights are being steamrolled by these mandates. As I wrote in my first post, I have nothing personal to gain by this lawsuit and a lot to lose professionally. And see, that's the other thing, too. When we evaluate the truthfulness of claims, of competing claims from experts, you know, one of the things that you do when you are investigating claims from people, of course, is you look at their motivations. Does this person have a motivation to lie to me about this? Is this person telling me something that is actually going to harm them? You know, if they tell you something that is actually going to harm them, then what that means is that they're really telling you the truth. They know that if they say the truth, it's going to harm them. But to tell the truth is going to harm them, but they do it anyway. And when you're evaluating competing claims, don't just look at the data. You might also consider the credibility of somebody who has a multi-million dollar grant at stake and is towing the company line that doesn't make any logical sense. Or somebody else who has a multi-million dollar grant at stake in their department and is telling you something's going to cause them to lose that grant. So we have multiple ways that we can look to see who is telling the truth. Certainly it's easy enough for us to evaluate most of these claims just from a logical standpoint. They don't make any sense. The religious exemptions to the vaccine mandates are being put up for a New York test. And of course, this is exactly where they would want to engineer it, isn't it? To go to the most liberal courts to test it. And they're very clever about the way they do it, just like this guy was. You know, Joe Biden is very frustrated by opposition to vaccine mandates. He says, I don't quite get this. Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that Joe doesn't get, a lot of stuff that he's confused about. Just take a look at this recent press conference where we have Neil Cavuto. They got a live conference, and it goes, oh, he's live. Let's go to him, and this is what happens.
Let's listen in. He's speaking in Illinois right now.
And the Ohio, Pennsylvania, I'm from Pennsylvania. The Illinois president, Don Harmon, State Senator Laura Murphy, State Rep Martin Moylan, and we got great labor leaders here, too. Tim, where's Tim? There you go, Tim. Thank you. Thank you, pal. AFL-CIO State President. And Jeff Isaacson, United Brothers of Carpenters, and Don Finn, IBEW, and Robert Reiter, Reiter, Chicago Federation of Labor. And folks, that's how we beat COVID-19.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, folks, that's how we beat COVID-19. We get a great leader like that, and he just tells us everything we got to do for the vaccine companies. They rule us. You're not allowed to criticize them. You give them all your money to develop their toxins, and then they force you to take it, and take it again, take it again, take it again. And don't you dare speak back about it. Yeah, that's who your real rulers are, isn't it? He's just a puppet up front. Speaking of puppets and Potemkin villages, what about that little Potemkin village that he erected across the street from the White House that he's shooting these conferences from? You know, we showed a picture of that when he was supposedly getting his booster shot. The fact that it was a stage prop set. And it's actually across the street from the real White House. And we've got a lot of pictures of it right now. And people are asking, why in the world is he doing this? And even more importantly, why are they showing this when they put it on TV? They show it and they pull it up and say, live from the White House. And it's not. And Stephen Miller thinks that he knows why Joe Biden is doing this. People are saying, what in the world is going on? We've never seen any of the previous presidents do something like this, but Biden is doing it. So Stephen Miller, who worked for Trump, says he thinks he knows why he's doing it. It allows him to do a face-on monitor that allows him to read a script with a teleprompter, right? Instead of, you know, sometimes when they do the speeches, you'll see them looking to their left and looking to their right, and they've got these glass things on either flank. And that is, scroll down there and show some of the pictures of that set a little bit further down. And so you know that they're reading from a teleprompter, but they want to let him read from a teleprompter so it doesn't look, there's a good one right there, so it doesn't look like he's reading from a teleprompter. So it looks like he's having a conversation with somebody and Ed's actually thinking about it. And instead they've got the whole thing scripted. The whole thing is scripted just like this pandemic. He said the reason Biden uses this bizarre virtual set for televised meetings and not an actual room, like the East Room, the Cabinet, the Oval Office, the Roosevelt Room, the Sit Room, etc., is because it allows him to read a script directly from a face-on monitor with a teleprompter. He said the White House created this bizarre setup to create the illusion that Biden is running a normal human meeting when he's actually delivering a scripted text. So, as he goes on to talk about his scripted text that he was provided by Pfizer that, you know, hey, we just all have to get the vaccine. He says, yeah, some people object. Some object very strenuously, and some are making a political statement out of this issue. Well, of course, it's not a political statement at all to tell people that they've got to get a vaccine in order to have a job, is it? And then lowering his voice to a whisper. And fortunately, he didn't, he didn't read where put in square brackets, whisper this. Lowering his voice to a whisper, he reminded the audience that even Fox News had vaccine mandates. This I always get a kick out of, he said. Fox News requires vaccination for all their employees. Give me a break, Fox News. And then he claimed again, yet again, that the unvaccinated Americans were flooding hospitals and shutting them down. No, it's his mandate that is shutting them down. His mandate that is shutting it down. We were told from the very beginning that we had to lock everything down to flatten the curve so we didn't overwhelm the hospitals, and now they're overwhelming the hospitals with his mandate. His mandate, the politicians and the policies are the problem. It's not the virus, it's not the unvaccinated, it's his policies. He doesn't know that vaccinated individuals can still spread COVID, evidently, and AP is hoping that you don't know that. And those parents who were talking about, well, now, my 9-year-old can visit grandma because now grandma can't get it if the 9-year-old's got a vaccine. Just listen to your so-called expert, Walensky, at the CDC. I've played this clip for you once before, but listen to this again. She admits that the vaccines do absolutely nothing in terms of transmission.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going home to somebody who has not been vaccinated, to somebody who can't get vaccinated, somebody who might be immunosuppressed or a little bit frail, somebody who has comorbidities that put them at high risk, I would suggest you wear a mask in public indoor settings.
She's telling you the truth about transmission. She's still lying to you about the efficacy of the vaccine and the safety of the vaccine. But I think when Biden hears transmission, he's thinking this has to do with his administration's LGBT agenda. You know, they're on a mission, right? A transmission. They send out transmissionaries to the kids in kindergarten and elementary school. Those are missionaries, aren't they? Missionaries of that Sodom and Gomorrah religion. Biden's latest false statement comes 1 week after his own CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, that I just played for you, said the vaccines cannot prevent transmission. And that should be the end of it, isn't it? But Associated Press, the pharmaceutical companies, Biden, all these, they're pretending as if that isn't the issue. Yeah, we're just going to continue right down that path. Biden is now getting the lowest approval ratings yet, as less than half of Americans see him as honest. The sad thing about these numbers to me, though, this is coming from Quinnipiac. The sad thing about the numbers is when you look at the various questions, when they ask people about the economy, only 39% approve of him. When they talk about his position as commander-in-chief for the U.S. military, 37% approval. On taxes, 37% approval. On foreign policy, 34% approval. On immigration, 25% approval. On the Mexican border, 23% approval. But when it comes to the response to the coronavirus, his approval goes up to 48%, still less than half. But people are happy with his vaccine mandates. 48% of the people are happy with that. 50% are unhappy with it. The other 2% don't know what's going on, as usual. And when it comes to whether or not he's honest, 49%. This is very troubling. And this is yet another symptom of what is happening with the press. You know, the part of the reason that people are aware of the disastrous policy at the border and with immigration is because the conservative press has taken that on. You go to Breitbart and you see nothing, basically, but immigration news, border news. That's a problem. It is a problem that is there, and it should be reported. I don't report it that much because neither party wants to do anything about it. And there really isn't anything that we as individuals can do about it. There are things that we can do about educating our children. There are things that we can do about not getting this vaccine and about resisting it and about using lesser magistrates and so forth. But there's not really any, I don't have a solution for you about the border. And I'm telling you that the solution is not going to come from the Republicans either. This is an issue that they use to get elected, but it is also one of these issues that they absolutely will not do anything about. And the press hammers that, though. And so people are aware of that problem, and it is a problem. And it is a problem what he did in Afghanistan, the way that he withdrew in Afghanistan. And people have talked a lot about that. And so on those types of issues, people are aware of the problem. But when you start talking about the vaccines, or you start talking about climate change, or you start talking about any of these things that are key to the Great Reset, they don't talk about it. And as a result, most people don't realize how big that problem is. So the thing is, socialist politics really depends on public acceptance that experts know what's best and that you can trust them and that what they tell you will work. But that is always a lie. These socialists are simply about central control. As we said yesterday with Guard, we're talking about this Marxist that Biden brought in, I mean, a literal Marxist he imported from Russia, who went to a Stalinist university on a Lenin scholarship. And she wants to establish the Federal Reserve as the institution that is going to centrally plan everything in our economy. Prices, wages, infrastructure, take us even more into currency control with a central bank digital cash and on and on. And, you know, when you go back and you look at how well we've been served, when we have people who are experts, this article here from Zero Hedge, that one sentence I read to you was from that, and they also reference Robert McNamara and the Pentagon making all these calls about Vietnam. And I remember, because I was a kid at the time, how everybody talked about how smart he was. He was a whiz kid. I think he'd actually been on some game show somewhere. But that label that was repeated over and over again, like propaganda, Robert McNamara, he's so smart. Well, if he is so smart, why did he do what he did in Vietnam? Well, maybe he was smart. Maybe he just had an evil agenda. And after he got finished wrecking that whole thing, he went to the IMF. And you know what he did at the IMF? He was accused of trying to do exactly what these guys are doing to all of us right now with the IMF, doing it to developing countries. Now, these are countries that needed infrastructure, just like we need infrastructure right now because we've ignored it for a long period of time. But when he went to these poor countries, what he did was he encouraged them to borrow money from the IMF and to use it to set up welfare programs. That's exactly the strategy that's being done by the Biden administration right now. And when he did that, people said, well, you're trying to make them permanent renters, aren't you? Because they'll never be able to generate any more wealth. If you fix up their infrastructure, you help them make investments where they can produce things and things like that, they could repay the debt. But if you encourage them to borrow money from you and to put it in social welfare programs and economic redistribution, that doesn't generate anything. And they're not going to be able to pay that debt. And you're setting them up to be renters forever, which is really what the Great Reset is about. To take everything from us so that we own nothing and we rent everything and we live off of a handout. And that's exactly what WizKid, Robert McNamara, was doing 50 years ago at the IMF. American Airlines says that workers must be fully vaccinated by November the 24th. See how this works? You know, we have the Biden policy is going to require Trump shots for all domestic flights. This has been leaked out. I said, yeah, we, you know, we're considering making sure that not only we're going to require, you know, they've put a limit on it. You don't fly into this country, you know, unless you're coming from Afghanistan. You don't fly into this country unless you've been fully vaccinated. Not even a PCR test that's negative is going to allow you to fly in, they were saying, right? And they said, now we need to do this internally. You know, unless you've come across the border illegally, in which case we'll fly you around without any qualifications whatsoever. But for internal flights, we want to do this. And I said, well, we're studying. We're not making that a demand right now, but we're studying it. Well, we know that's what they're going to do because they put policy out there. So how do they implement this? Well, first of all, you have the airlines go in and they mandate vaccines for all the crew on the flight. The next thing they do, which is this step right now, this is where we are, step number two, they mandate vaccines for everybody, not just the people on the plane, but for everybody at American Airlines. That's the next step, and so now all the rest of the airlines will be doing that as well. And then if they get all the employees, the people on the planes, the people off the planes, after everybody gets vaccinated, then the next step is, oh, and now all the passengers have to be vaccinated. And the beauty of this plan is that just as the New England Journal of Medicine war-gamed it from the very beginning, they are going to do this through corporate coercion. Well, no mandates at all. I just put out what the goals are, and you guys implement it. See how that works? It's just like the way that they implemented censorship. Well, we're not censoring anybody. It's Facebook and Twitter and Google and YouTube that are censoring people. They just happen to be censoring the people that we don't like. They just happen to be censoring the people that are talking about issues and disagreeing with us. So, yeah, that's the way it works out. By the way, Dr. Robert Malone has now had his IP address blocked by the New England Journal of Medicine. And I've shown study after study coming out of the New England Journal of Medicine papers that they wrote, just like what I just referenced, saying we have to make sure that we don't do this by a legal process. We've got to do it through corporate coercion because we don't want to have any due process challenges. Well, they're getting due process challenges from people who are employees of the government, people who are in the military. They're getting some of those due process challenges. But they can do it through the schools and other things that they control, and then they can twist the arms of the corporations or they can offer them a carrot. And I'm telling you that the difference, in my opinion, the difference between Trump as president and Biden as president, Trump would have offered the corporations a carrot. Biden offers them a stick. But either way, it would have been corporate coercion. That was always the plan. And Trump was following the plan. Trump prepared the shots. These shots would not be possible to be mandated if Trump hadn't funded them. They are the Trump shots. But again, if you want to know where this is headed, this whole program, they laid it out for you in October of 2019. I'll just remind you of the video I played yesterday. This is a shorter version of it.
You have to prove that this works. And then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years. That alone, if it works perfectly, is going to take a decade.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet.
And it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch and self-administer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to say, I don't care what your perception is, right? I have science. You have perceptions. I have science. No, I'm not going to show you my data. It's just your perceptions, and I don't really care where they are. And we're going to have to do this in a disruptive way, and we're going to have to do it iteratively. Because, you know, we've got this system, and it really doesn't work out for our friends in industry here who want to make lots of money. For this to take 10 years, we don't want it to take 10 years. And we have to change this whole thing for the annual flu shot or, you know, whatever it is. And, of course, I played for you before the fact that they said, well, we're going to roll all this together into the annual flu shot. That was the annual lie that they hit everybody with for the longest period of time. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more about mandates. And I've got some more letters from listeners, as well as what is happening with some politicians. Yes, there actually are some politicians who are fighting back on this, and just like that professor in California. Oh, they're making it very hard for them. This is not going to be easy for any of us to stand up. But I tell you what, if we don't do it, we've lost. And sometimes when you stand, it becomes a rallying point for others. Just keep that in mind. But you stand and you do the right thing, whether anybody else does it or not. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
Let's talk a little bit about the vaccine passports. Canada has unveiled vaccine mandates for all travelers and federal employees. See how they do it a little bit differently than we do it in the U.S.? In the U.S., we want to disrupt the system. We're going to have to do it iteratively, as Fauci said. We're going to do it through corporations. In other countries where there is less resistance, I mean, it doesn't mean that Trudeau has the authority to do this. It's just that there's less resistance in Canada. from the general public. There's not enough here in the U.S. But in Canada, there's less. And so he can just come out and do it by fiat. Say, well, you know, nobody travels. And all federal employees have to have it. And it never was a plan, was it? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, yes, it was. Again, this is Bill Gates. And I played this for you yesterday. But I want both that clip that I played of Fauci and this one are very, very key. Very, very important for you to see. And as you have all these people saying, well, you know, Bill Gates was, his comments were taken out of context in this TED talk. And he was not calling for depopulation. Oh, yeah. He said it in more places than that TED talk back in 2010. But this is also the TED talk in 2010. And in this short clip, you can see that first the video where they cut out the phrase talking about digital immunity, you know, digital passports, and they forgot to edit out the audio. Very interesting. They forgot to edit out the audio. So this person puts it through the edited video and then plays the audio for you right after it. That's the key for this clip. What they cut out is what they didn't want you to see or hear.
Eventually, what we'll have is certificates of who's a recovered person, who's a vaccinated person, because you don't want people moving around the world where you'll have some countries that won't have it under control. Sadly, you don't want to completely block off the ability for those, you know, people to go there and come back and move around.
So eventually there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate the global reopening up.
That's what they cut out. They cut out the digital immunity proof. And he was saying that over a decade ago. And this is a guy who was pushing ID 2020, a global ID for every citizen in the world at the same time. And you heard the implied threats. Well, if you haven't been vaccinated, you know, you may have recovered, you may have natural immunity, but we got to know if you're vaccinated or not. Because he's also got another agenda, immunization agenda 2030, IA 2030. So he's got ID 2020 for the identification. He's got IA 2030, which is for immunization agenda, everyone, everywhere, every age vaccinated with whatever he tells you to be vaccinated with. It's his agenda. He's been pretty clear about it. He's funded a lot of these NGOs with billions and billions of dollars. As a matter of fact, funding the WHO, biggest funder there now that the U.S. pulled out last year of some of the funding. He is the biggest funder of that. But they will cover for him in every way possible. Again, it was AP that came to his rescue. Twitter was saying, well, this is being taken out of context. Twitter was trying to prop him up. AP was trying to prop him up. But it was his agenda, and this is what it looks like. Again, we cannot recognize natural immunity, so we can use the vaccine. Make sure everybody gets vaccinated and make sure we've got a global ID. For travelers in Canada, until November the 30th, travelers who are in the process of being vaccinated, there will be a short transition period where they will be able to travel if they can show a valid molecular test within 72 hours of travel. But anybody hoping to use public transport this holiday season will need to get the jabs. You see how they're rolling this out? It's one of the reasons why they've got to get rid of cars. That's the only way that we can travel anymore. They can control, as long as they've got public transportation, they can put these mandates on it. If they have control of the hospitals, they can put mandates on your ability to get health care. If they have control of all the financial system and the corporations by hook or by crook, they can require that for banking, for jobs, for everything. This is why we must fight against this. Because we're done if these people get this thing through. As for the employment mandate, Trudeau has settled on a Kafkaesque mechanism for enforcement, writes Zero Hedge. Employees will be required to sign an attestation form, giving their word that they've been vaccinated. Anybody who signs the form can at any time have their vaccine status audited by their managers, who will then seek proof of vaccination. If you're a federal worker affected by this order and you decided to lie about your status, definitely don't tell anybody. This is an honor system for the Jonestown cult. Well, some people are just going out and defying it directly, like this Canadian lawmaker, whose name is Rick Nichols. He's an Ontario member of parliament. He said, quote, "The government attempted to force me into getting the vaccine or to be removed from my caucus. Sticking to my values and my principles, I refused to get the vaccine. As a result, I'm announcing that I am stepping down as the deputy speaker and chair of the committee of the whole House." He said, "I oppose mandatory vaccines. I believe in personal choice when it comes to having a foreign substance injected, and that an individual should not be punished for choice." He says, "I want to thank the media for letting me know the government has actually already selected a replacement for me." Yes, that's correct. The government did not let me know. And in Australia, I want to play for you a statement by a member of parliament there, and I want you to hear this back and forth as he's questioning the public health minister there.
Mr. Limbrick.
Thank you, President. My question is for the Minister for Small Business. The Premier recently announced that all authorised workers will be required to be vaccinated, although as of this morning, no mandatory vaccination directions were published on the Department of Health website. This announcement has sent many employers and workers into a panic. They're unsure what to do for staff if staff either refuse to be vaccinated or refuse to hand over their medical details. Many of these workers are highly valued staff that the employer does not want to sack. What are you advising employers to do if staff refuse to either be vaccinated or hand over their private medical details?
Mr. Pulford.
Thank you, President. I thank Mr. Limbrick for his question, and I know that he has an audience and attracts an audience that are vehemently opposed to the scientific basis of the vaccination program.
He implies he's a terrorist.
Between us and an open economy. And I think that...
These people stand between us and an open economy, these anti-vaxxers.
I think that you know, you're... I would encourage you to reflect on how people interpret your appearance at public events,
Minister,
like the riots
Minister,
at the union
you.
Office
thank
a
you.
Couple of weeks ago.
Minister, thank you. Mr. David on a point of order.
Minister Stitt accused Mr. Limbrick of being a right-wing extremist. That's how I heard what she said. Now, I don't know whether he heard it, but that is what I heard, and I don't think it's right.
Okay, and we lost audio there at that point. There's much that happens after this, and evidently...
Look, order. Mr. David, I know I heard you clearly, but Mr. Limbrick is in a chamber, and I didn't hear anything. I don't know if Mr. Limbrick, he didn't raise a point of order. I don't know if he heard it or heard nothing, but... all right, well, thank you. Minister, to continue.
Look, thank you. Look, I know there's... These are issues about which people in the community have strong feelings. The need for us to open up, in a considered and thoughtful way that is cognizant of our obligations to ensure that people in the Victorian community who need help from our hospitals and our health services can access it while we open up. And I know that half the people in this room and half the people in the community reckon the roadmap's too slow and the other half reckon it's too fast, which maybe makes it... about the right pace.
Hegelian dialectic. Hegelian dialectic. Objection. Hegelian
dialectic. In response to Mr. Limbrick's question about businesses that have staff members that do not want to be vaccinated, my answer is precisely the same answer I gave Mr. Davis. I would encourage those businesses to talk to their staff about the importance of vaccination and the relationship to that business's ability to trade and participate in a busier and more active economy. I would encourage those businesses to think about it, whether it's within their capacity to facilitate time off to go and be vaccinated. And I would encourage them to reach out to their peak organisations for support and advice about the way in which these things engage with industrial relations law. As for
she doesn't have anything to do with shutting people down.
That have staff shortages and skills shortages, because this tiny percentage of the community would rather
it's not their mandate. This is a tiny percentage of the community. It's not these dictators on top.
Their workmates at risk. That small percentage of our community, for employers that need to replace those people in their workplaces, I would encourage them to familiarise themselves with the supports that are available through the Jobs Victoria program that I administer in my employment portfolio, and we will do everything we can to assist them, also working with Peaks, to find staff that are wanting to work.
Mr. Limbrick on a supplementary.
So we'll help you,
thank you, President,
to fire these people and find other people who will do what we say.
If an employer decides that they must reluctantly sack a staff member due to a mandate, what protections are there for those employers in this situation against things such as unfair dismissal or other legal actions that may be taken against them?
Sir?
Thank you. So this I would make the point that this is outside my area of training and portfolio responsibilities in a very direct sense, because you're asking about Commonwealth industrial relations laws. No, he asked about unfair dismissal and Commonwealth industrial relations laws. So there are things I know about this, but I think in the... as we all do. I mean, you used to be, in industrial relations too, in your own way. But my answer to the question is that these are very, very particular instances, and in a circumstance where an employer has to performance manage an employer, they need to seek appropriate advice from someone more qualified and trained to provide this to them than I am. But again, I think the best thing they can do is have that conversation about the benefits of vaccination.
Yeah, so she's the labor minister there, and I want to do everything that I can to help the companies to fire them, because they're in the way. This tiny minority of people out there who don't want to do what I say are the reason that we all can't have nice things. If everybody would just do what I say, I would take my boot off of your throat, but I have to keep my boot on your throat because we've got this small minority of people who refuse to obey me, and I have to establish my authority. And oh, by the way, if you want to help me with this, I will help you. But if the people who want to, this tiny minority that is resisting my dictatorial rule, there is nothing that we're going to do to help them. That's the whole point. And so this guy that you just heard, Limbrick, and another, and they're with the Liberal Party. And remember, I told you before, it's not in the way that we look at the Liberal Party here in North America. The Liberal Party here in North America, they've taken over. They're really progressives, socialists, left-wing. There, the Liberal Party has traditionally been, before we got people like Gladys Berejiklian, the Liberal Party there has been about small government, lower taxes, the rights to have more gun rights and so forth. They were really kind of a libertarian party, but they have now sold out for the most part. But these two guys have not. Both of them were vaccinated, and listen to what they have to say about the vaccine passport. Again, they call themselves liberal Democrats.
This morning, Tim and I spoke to the media about our thoughts about the new vaccine mandates for authorized workers that the government announced last week. We don't support vaccine mandates for workers that haven't given their consent. But the government last week also did something that goes a step further than anything they've done before. They talked about how members of parliament also are required to be vaccinated. Now, we think that this engages a new human right that we haven't seen happen before, where the bureaucrats can effectively determine who can and can't take a part in public life. We think this is a horrifying precedent that bureaucrats can just determine which medical procedures you need to be a democratic representative.
It's massive overreach, and it goes against hundreds of years of parliamentary law where the government has no power to control what MPs can do or how they can vote. So massive overreach. It's not on at all.
So in solidarity with all the workers who've had vaccine mandates forced upon them, Tim and I, although we're both have freely chosen to be vaccinated, we're refusing to hand over our digital vaccination certificates to Parliament. We're going to stand in solidarity with those who've had mandates forced upon them. We've got no problem with people choosing to take vaccines voluntarily, but we do have a serious issue around consent. And, you know, as we've stated many times, consent is only valid when it's free from pressure and coercion.
The government's been overstepping its reach the whole use of these emergency powers. They've been going too far. They've been given a massive trust for these powers, and they've abused that trust. But these vaccine mandates are just way too far. They've taken it even further, and it's got to stop.
Yeah.
And so you understand what is happening with this is that now they're going from, you know, shutting down hospitals because the people who've worked on this on the front lines in the faces of patients and who have seen people who have been vaccinated, both they've seen the virus, they've seen the vaccine. And they said, no, I don't think so. I'd rather take my chances with this so-called pandemic than with this vaccine. So those people are fired. We're going to shut down hospitals everywhere. Shut thousands of people. Just one hospital system in New York, 1,400 people in just that one hospital system. Shut down. We will shut down our hospitals. That was the whole reason we started this. That was a lie at the beginning to start all this. We'll shut them down rather to make people get the vaccine. And we'll do that to the military. We'll do that to the police. We'll do that to the firemen. All the people who were supposed to be essential last year, we will fire you now. And now is extending to people who are elected representatives. Because if you don't do what Bill Gates says, if you don't do what Fauci says, then, of course, you're not going to be an elected representative either. It just keeps going, doesn't it? Just keeps going. And so those guys there, Limbrick in Australia, as well as Nichols in Canada. Nichols said, again, one more quote from him, and Canada said, under no circumstances will I, nor should any Ontarian, be forced or coerced to do something against their will. To do so is an affront to the democratic principles of this magnificent institution. So let's take a look at what some of the Republicans are doing to help us with this, right? We have Idaho Lieutenant Governor. And this is the person who is number two under Brad Little. Brad Little, one of the best examples, although he's not the only one by far, but one of the best examples of a dictatorial Republican in an all-Republican state. In Idaho, you've got a Republican legislature, both houses controlled by Republicans, and you've got a Republican governor and a Republican lieutenant governor. And they were shutting everything down because Brad Little had been given a ton of money to play with in order to keep this emergency going. As long as the emergency is going, he's getting all kinds of cash from Trump's executive order declaring a state of national emergency. He had many times what the entire state budget was that would typically go through the elected representatives and legislative appropriations. He had many times that amount of money that was given to him by this Trump executive order for his own discretionary use, and he was able to buy influence and do other things and act as a dictator. And so, as some people in the Republican legislature that was not scheduled to meet that year, it's very much like it is here in Texas, they only meet every other year. And in Texas, you didn't even, to my knowledge, nobody even suggested that they were going to call an emergency session to shut down the dictatorial orders of Greg Abbott. But in Idaho, you had some Republicans who were going to do that, and then the governor said, no, you will not do that, and he dismissed them, like a colonial governor. And then he wrote some legislation himself, and then he called them back into session, like some colonial governor, and told them to pass this, and they did. And this is where we are now. You know, we're in 1775 or 74. And that legislation was, we will protect you as a business. We will protect you from any lawsuits about somebody that claims that they got sick at your business because you didn't do the proper things, but you're going to have to do our mask mandates, because that's what they had at the time. They didn't have the vaccines. You will have to do the mask mandates, the social distancing, and yada, yada. Everything that I tell you to do, you will do that. And if you do that, I will offer you legal protection. This is why I say, if you look at what this would have been under Trump, it would have been, well, I'll offer you something, but you do this for me. There would have been strings attached to it. You know, Brad Little didn't come out and say, well, if you don't do all of my, you know, Fauci rituals that I'm passing on to you, I'm going to hit you with massive fines. That's the Democrat approach. I'm going to hit you with massive fines. I want your money then. No, instead what they say was, I'll offer you something. I'll offer you total legal immunity like we give to the pharmaceutical companies if you will do all the stuff that Fauci says, the carrot instead of the stick. And so when he offered that, the legislature that was cowed down by him, they were going to get rid of his executive orders, but they were cowed down by him, and then they rubber-stamped that for him. And so now he's visiting the border, virtue-signaling about that issue that Breitbart is on and Fox is on, ignoring everything else that's happening. So he goes down for a photo ops at the border. And while he's gone, the Idaho lieutenant governor issues an order to protect kids from mandates while he's out of the state, to protect them from vaccine passports, because that's where we are right now. It's not really even about the masks there. And so Governor Brad Little had barred, quote, any state of Idaho governmental entity from requiring so-called vaccine passports, right? Notice what's missing here. He didn't ban the schools from requiring it. And so the Lieutenant Governor, Janice McGeachin, said, well, I'm going to stop the schools from ordering it. The order did not explicitly forbid K-12 schools and universities from asking for proof of vaccination. So McGeachin's order extended it to include the State Department of Education, and all public schools and colleges and universities will not be allowed to mandate vaccines. Do you notice something missing from her order? She left the businesses and the corporate coercion alone, right? You see how this works? It's all about virtue signaling. See, I'm better than he is. You know, he stopped it in vaccine mandates in government entities, but he didn't stop it in schools, because I guess the schools are not considered to be government entities. So she extends it to the schools. And yet neither one of them does anything to protect people from being kicked out of businesses or being fired by businesses because of corporate coercion. That's the way these people work. This is the Republicans for us now. I'll be rescinding and reversing any actions taken by the lieutenant governor when I return. It's nothing but silly politics. And this kind of back and forth, as you see, between the Republican governor and the Republican lieutenant governor is exactly the same kind of difference by degrees, or I should say a distinction by degrees, that isn't really any difference that we see between the Democrats and the Republicans. In Ontario, you know, it is actually possible to put up a bill. I'll just mention this to any of the Republicans out there who want to do something about it. You know, Ted Cruz, any of you fake Republicans out there, rhinos, you globalist rhinos, any of you who want to do something. Well, here's what one guy in Ontario did. This is Roman Baber. He introduced a bill into the Ontario legislature that bans employers from firing employees. See, he went there. You can actually do something like that. And in Florida, the legislature there, and DeSantis has actually done something like that. I don't know how extensive it is, but yeah, he's had court fights with the cruise lines who tried to align themselves with CDC rules and said, no, we're going to require for people who want to get on our ships and so forth. So not in Florida, you're not. And he won in the courts. I think the latest I've seen is he was ahead in the courts, but of course, you know, they keep bringing it up for appeals and so forth. And he's done some, and he and the other Republicans have done some to protect this. But that's the only state. Actually, it was Montana did some of this stuff as well. But other than a couple of Republican states, most of them have not done this. Now, in Ontario, he wanted to ban employers from firing employees who declined the Trump shots, but it was blocked. And he said, ironically, it wasn't blocked by the Liberals. It was blocked by the Conservatives in Canada. Imagine that. Yeah. And that's where we've seen some of the worst stuff was by Jason Kenney, who's supposedly a conservative in Alberta. Navy SEALs lawyer says the military is ignoring natural immunity. Well, of course they are, because they're doing what Bill Gates said. Remember, I played that for you. Bill Gates said, well, you got to distinguish between people who've gotten my jabs. He didn't say my jabs, but that's what it is. It's his jabs. His, you know, the Gates shots are the Trump shots. That's right. In spite of what you're told by QAnon, by Alex Jones, and this person regurgitated that garbage to me on Gab and said, well, you don't know. The Trump shots had ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, seriously, and zinc and all this other stuff in it. Like I said yesterday, you know, puppy dog tails, too. Probably did have puppy dog tails because Fauci does do experiments with puppies. He likes to kill beagles. But mainly, you know, he likes to kill babies. So, you know, you can put babies in there, do the research of the babies. But Trump never proposed any vaccines that had all of that stuff in it or any of that stuff in it. He didn't propose any vaccines that had sunlight in them either, right? It's just absolutely amazing. But the vaccines are the genetic code injections to reprogram your body to make it produce a toxin in your body, And how does that stop? Well, Navy SEALs have hired a lawyer, some of them, and said, my clients are seeing for the very first time in the military the fact that natural immunity is not being recognized as a reason for an exemption to a vaccine. That's right, because Gates said so 10 years ago. They said, why is natural immunity demonstrated by positive serology being ignored for this vaccine, but it isn't for others? In other words, if you go in and you've had, instead of getting a measles vaccine or whatever it is, if you can show them that you take a test and you can show them that you got antibodies for a particular disease, you don't have to get the vaccine. And that's the way it's been for the military for a long time, for the Navy SEALs, they said. Military regulations outline how medical exemptions to require vaccines can be granted because of, quote, evidence of immunity based on serologic tests, documented infections, or similar circumstances. But see, not for this. Because first of all, this isn't a vaccine, right? This is about injecting you with a toxic protein spike to cause other issues. So this is not about a vaccine. But secondly, in 2019, as I play many times when Trump says, I got to get the shots, that was about removing religious exemptions. It was about removing medical exemptions. All these people telling you half-truths and saying, well, you know, we had vaccine requirements before to get into school, but you had exemptions. You had medical and religious exemptions. They took those away in 2019. And now they're taking them away for the people in the military as well. And they're taking it away even when your medical exemption is, I've already got immunity. So that's what the Navy SEALs are seeing. That's what the college professor, the doctor, is seeing in California, in the California system that is suing them. They said those with previous COVID infection are not considered to be fully vaccinated. That is a statement from this shill, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. That's what he said in August. We don't care. You notice that he says those with previous COVID infection are not considered to be fully vaccinated. He didn't say are not considered to be immune. So this isn't about immunity. This is about vaccination. He said, if you have recovered from this, and of course, if you recover from it, that means that your body has produced antibodies to kill whatever the infection is. And those antibodies will still be there. Those antibodies last, unlike these fake ones from the vaccine. You know, that's how they determine the efficacy of these vaccines. They look at it and say, well, it looks like it's producing the kind of antibodies that we're looking for, so therefore it works. Except those antibodies don't last. But the antibodies do last for people who have been exposed to this and who have recovered, by definition. But they say that they talk about fully vaccinated. They don't even talk about immunity. Immunity is not what they're looking for. They're looking for vaccination. That's all that matters. Immunity does not matter. The virus doesn't matter. Closing down hospitals doesn't matter. Closing down the hospitals is just as important to them. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with immunity or practicality or anything else or saving the hospitals or saving your life. This is about getting the vaccine. End of story. That has been the goal. That was the goal that they practiced for every year with their annual simulations. Lock everybody down until we got a vaccine in place so we can force onto everybody. And now they're rolling that out. This is the other shoe to drop from the false flag of 9/11 and from the Patriot Act. So these are Navy SEALs, right? Said the lawyer. And they think it's reasonable to ask the question, why is this vaccine being treated differently? We don't have a long-term 5- and 10-year safety studies on the mRNA vaccine. Well, it's because Fauci didn't want it. They said in October 2019. We don't want to go through 5-10 years for this. We got to blow this system up. How do we blow it up? Well, we got to have something that's very disruptive. Well, they got that. And then we have to go through an iterative, gradual process. Well, they're doing that now, right? They're asking the question, isn't there a risk that they're creating to other people if they get a vaccine that's been shown in some studies to not just have breakthrough cases, but also high viral loads and potential viral shedding? Asked the lawyer of the Navy SEALs. You know, I played the pro basketball player the other day who was pushing back against these mandates. Very, very articulate guy, Jonathan Isaac. And he's a very well-known basketball player to anybody other than me. I don't watch any of these sports. But he was very, very articulate when he was talking about his objections, his reasons to object. And now he's very articulate about the government threatening our freedom, because he's continuing to get pressure and he is not caving on this. He says, I believe what I'm saying is rational. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I have the opportunity and the platform to say what it is that I feel is right. I'm taking that right to do so, not just for me, but for all those people who feel like they don't have a voice. Isaac went on to say, I believe that we're entering a period of time where the government is setting a precedent that in light of any declared emergency, your personal autonomy, your religious freedom, and your freedom as a whole becomes negotiable. Well, they're not even negotiating with us, they're just taking it, right? He went on to say, I would just say to those deciding not to be vaccinated, being pressured and hounded, stay encouraged. It may feel like hopelessness, but there are people out there who are trying their best to hold the line. And I believe that we're going to see a great revival through this as well, as people begin to open their eyes. So that's what's important. We have to have people who are going to stand up, stand against this. When you stand out, there's a saying in Japan where they love conformity. And they say, if you've ever been to Japan or China, it's like almost everybody is the same height, and it's very conform, physically very conformed and everything else. But they have a saying in Japan, the nail that sticks up will be hammered down. Well, they're going to try to hammer us, and we need to just keep standing up to this. Virginians are battling over the forced COVID shots for school students, and of course, this is coming from Governor Coon man, Ralph Northam. And believe me, if these people don't show up in sufficient numbers, or if they rig the election or whatever, out of these Washington, D.C. suburbs, you're going to see the Clintonista Terry McAuliffe really hammer this down in Virginia. Other opponents of forced jabs were talking about the medical concerns. They said there's teachers with severe allergies, blood clotting disorders, average other issues, which make this a huge risk. Our teachers have to put themselves on the line for 20 months or so now. And we will thank them by taking away the choice? No. And in response to that, you have a woman who comes back and says, well, my daughter and all the other students should have the right to be able to attend school without being unnecessarily put at risk by other students and teachers who refuse to be vaccinated. That's irrational. That is absolutely irrational. And yet she says the people who do not get the vaccine, that does nothing to stop transmission, does nothing to stop viral loads. Listen to your expert for a change. Listen to Walensky. She said it does nothing. She says, oh, it's going to protect you from dying. Well, good, then get it, if you believe that. But it's not going, and I'm not encouraging anybody to get it. I mean, I don't even wish the injection on my worst enemies, the people who want to take away my life. But this person is saying the irrational minority should not be dictating public health policy for Virginia or the schools. That's what I would say about her. She is irrational. She may be the spokesperson for the irrational majority, but an irrational majority should not be taking away informed consent and liberty and medical exemptions and religious exemptions from the rest of us. This is nothing but politics and media propaganda. It is anti-science. And again, last year it was the virus. This year it's the vaccinated who are the problem. She's not even concerned about the virus. It's all about the vaccinated people. Why? Because she's had this hammered by the media into her over and over again. Finally, you know, the Pope, who is telling everybody, take the vaccine. Don't worry about the experiments that are currently being done, by the way, by the FDA, by Fauci's NIH, and all the rest of these organizations, the cannibalism that they're involved in. Don't worry about any of that. I'm going to, give you... I don't know. I guess he thinks he can give you some kind of an indulgence with that or something. Whatever he's fantasizing. But he's now ordered all the Vatican employees to get vaccinated. And so we've had several of the Swiss Guard who have been there at the Vatican, kind of in a ceremonial regard for the most part, guarding the Vatican. Some of them have left. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about critical race theory. I think CRT is really an acronym for communist rats. We'll explain that when we come back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
All right, we have Gerald Celente is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. We've got a lot of economic questions to ask him. But before we do, real quickly, I love this from the Babylon Bee. It's so easy. It's such an easy target to troll, this trillion-dollar coin idea. But I love the imagination of the people at the Babylon Bee. Here's how they imagine it. Instead of going to all the trouble of changing a die and, you know, stamping something that has essentially $100 intrinsic value with a label of $1 trillion, it's even easier to do it. This is a brilliant idea that said Biden could solve all of this debt crisis by just writing $1 trillion on a dollar bill using a permanent marker. Yeah, that's all it takes. I mean, is that fundamentally any that's a great, absurd example of what they're doing with this coin. I mean, you take a $100 platinum coin and you stamp $1 trillion on it. That's really no different than taking a $1 bill and writing $1 trillion on it with a magic marker. They say the brilliant solution was proposed by AOC, Occasional Cortex, who is the world's smartest socialist. That's a low bar, isn't it? The problem is, we don't have any money that says trillion on it, she said. If President Biden writes trillion on a dollar bill, that makes it official, because only the president can do official things like that with his official pens. You know, well, it was an executive order that spent $6 trillion at Friday the 13th, March 13th, 2020. You know, that all began with a pen swoosh of President Trump, and they were off to the races. I mean, it wasn't $1 trillion, it was $6 trillion. Lock down the economy, transfer more money to the Wall Street bankers. Yeah, anyway, she said, well, he can just do it with his official pens. Then we'll have enough money to pay for all the human rights and stuff because socialism works. In a ceremony at the Federal Reserve yesterday, Biden took out his official permanent marker and he changed the value of the $1 bill. He said, now, take this to the bank and pay off some debts, he said to an aide. And then here's a little tip for your trouble. And he wrote $1 million on a used handkerchief in his pocket, and he gave it to the aide. See, it's all solved. Meanwhile, the New York Times readers are in a panic over the fact that they want to scrutinize every bank transaction, bank account over $600, every transaction over $600. So in the New York Times, there were 3,000 people who commented on the New York Times Facebook post, critical of this whole idea. Thousands of New York Times readers reacted with panic and shock to the paper's report that President Biden's administration proposes requiring banks to report information on customer transactions of $600 or more to the IRS. One reader said, it's government's overreach and will be used to target people who cannot afford legal counsel to defend themselves, which is something that the IRS already does. That's what we've seen, as I pointed out many times, with civil asset forfeiture. this whole idea of civil asset forfeiture, which Biden pushed and proposed and got Reagan to sign off on, and you know Reagan supported it as well, to his shame, this idea that you can take people's property without convicting them of anything, that you can charge inanimate objects with committing a crime, and that you can say that this is a civil process, and because it's a civil process, you don't have any due process. You don't have any presumption of innocence. And we say it's a civil process because this isn't a law. Do you understand how cynical all of this is? If this were a law, we would have to give you due process. We'd have to give you the presumption of innocence. But since this isn't a law, since this is something that was just cooked up by a regulatory agency, then, it's a civil process, meaning that you're going to have to sue us. We don't have to give you the presumption of innocence and due process. We can just take your stuff. And if you want to get it back, you have to sue us in court. And, oh, by the way, to initiate the process, it's going to cost more than this car that we just took from you. And that's what they've been doing in Chicago for quite some time. About $1,000 they require as a fee to start the civil process to get your property back. So what do? They go around and steal cars from poor people that are worth about $900. Now, all of this type of thing, we're seeing this with the war on drugs and civil asset forfeiture, but it was the IRS that began this pattern. The IRS was the first agency to go out there and say, you don't have any presumption of innocence, you don't have any due process, and we're going to write the rules, and then we're going to judge whether or not you have followed the rules, and then we're going to take the stuff from you preemptively without any kind of a hearing. And now they're not the only ones who do it. Now you've got all these different agencies that are doing it, calling it a fine or calling it a, you know, well, you're going to forfeit stuff to us. Or we're going to hit you with a fine. We're seeing the FAA doing that to people over these mask mandates and other things. Some people getting $25,000 fines, which violates yet another part of the Bill of Rights, excessive fines. So you've got all these different organizations that are going out there and doing this. And so when we look at what is happening with the IRS, this is moving into another area. And that is not only taking away your due process, you're innocent until proven guilty, and then assessing fines and making sure the fines are not excessive. All that's been taken away already by the IRS and now by all these other government agencies. And so now they're going into the deeper into the surveillance mode. Yeah, they've been looking at people already, but they're going further and further into surveillance mode. And you will find all of these other government agencies will be doing exactly the same thing. Following the trailblazing, bureaucratic, dystopian, tyrannical tactics that the IRS has done. They go on to say, this is something the IRS is already doing, but it's going to be even more extensive. The writer said it'll come down hard on people who are least able to afford a proper legal defense, exactly what they do with civil asset forfeiture. While the wealthy illegally hiding assets and offshore accounts are left alone because it takes too much effort on the government's part to track their money and to bring claims against them to court. You know, when I look at this and I look at what happened with civil asset forfeiture, with these poor people getting their cars, average car taken was $900. You look at what happened with El Chapo with a Sinaloa drug cartel. And they took everything that he had, you know, before they convicted him. But it was pretty well known that he had done some. These other people were losing their cars. They haven't done anything. But when you compare that to the biggest drug dealers, Johnson & Johnson, or Purdue Pharmaceutical, the Sackler family, and what they were doing with the opioid epidemic, an epidemic that was not just about people trying to get a recreational high. These were people who got hooked on these drugs because of doctors prescribing this because they were encouraged by Johnson & Johnson and the Sackler family to do this. And now what did they do? Did they take everything from Johnson & Johnson? No. They negotiated things with them. They negotiated things with the Sackler family. Sackler family, Purdue Pharmaceutical. They negotiated with the federal government. They negotiated with many state attorneys general. And they basically walked away from the table with a lot of money. A lot of money. And they even came back and said, we left money on the table for these guys. Gee, we really didn't know. Oh, you didn't know, did you? Huh. I think they did. I think when you look at what happened with Johnson & Johnson, they immediately pivoted into the vaccine industry, which they had not been a part of prior to that. And they jumped into it in a very big way. And the vaccine industry, they can kill as many people as they want. And they don't have to worry about anything being taken away from them by the government. Well, before we go to Gerald, I just want to talk. January the 6th, of course, is always there. And this whistleblower, so-called whistleblower from Facebook, there's a lot of questions about her past. A lot of questions are being raised about how did she... She's supposedly a whistleblower, and she's investigating all these documents, and Facebook doesn't know anything about that. Is that reasonable to understand that that's how Facebook works, and they know everything about everybody all the time? Was this done with their approval? Is this part of a political agenda when you look at the way she's been held up and celebrated about all of this? And she is now, as part of... This was couched as somebody who is blowing the whistle on Facebook, but she wants a lot more censorship off of Facebook. And she wants investigations directed to the people who were there on January the 6th, the so-called insurrection. And I'll talk more about this after we do the interview with Gerald. But I had I made a statement the other day. I said, you know, stay away from Oath Keepers, stay away from Proud Boys, stay away from government schools, as a matter of fact. Be careful about people who are urging you to get violent, who are urging you to do things, if you stop and think about it, they'll be misrepresented and used to attack not only you, but an entire movement. I was saying this about Stop the Steal before I was fired. It's one of the reasons I was fired. I opposed the lies of Steve Pachinik, and I opposed this whole Stop the Steal thing. I said, first of all, it's not going to accomplish anything, but Alex is making a lot of money off of this, you realize, right? And they made a lot of money off of the lies. He got 4 million views in one day off of that Steve Pachinik sting video. And so when I said the statements that I did about that, I said, let's be wise about how we're going to fight this. Yeah, it's unjust to label people as domestic terrorists because they show up at a school board meeting. There's no reason for that. But I had this reply that was written on Subscribestar by a subscriber who said, and I think he's talking about the guys that were there with the zip ties or whatever, with the principal, you know, saying they broke into the office. I don't know if this is the same case or not, because I didn't look at the details of that. I knew that they were ramping that up to make it look worse than it did, but I said, don't do something that is going to allow them to do that. If you're going to have meetings, you don't have to do the meetings at the school board. You do public meetings, and you send them the resolutions, and you send them the videos, and say, look, we have 500 people who showed up at this facility, and we're adamantly opposed to what you're doing. If you do that, they can't clear the room, and they can't send in the police to arrest you because there's too many of you, and they can't gag you. You can go ahead and do your meeting, and then you can show it to the press, and you can show it to them, and you can start organizing people to vote them out. Think about what you're doing. And so he wrote back and he said, well, they tried to escort a kid into a school that had a medical exemption to wearing a mask. Does it matter that they were Patriot Prayer members? No, it doesn't. But does it matter that they can't figure out that the best thing for their kid is to not escort them into a school, especially a school like that? That's what I'm talking about, being wise about this stuff. He said, would it make any difference if they weren't there? Yeah. And he says, what has Stuart Rhodes done to make you believe that he's FBI? Well, I think Stuart Rhodes, I've talked to him for many years, and I've got to say that before any of this stuff was done, before he came person one in this January the 6th investigation, there were a lot of concerns about what was going on financially in his organization. And these are concerns that were not just brought up by the press to demonize him. These are people who are inside the organization. I've talked to many people who worked with Stuart Rhodes who told me personally things that had been done with financial irregularity as he was running that organization by himself. So, yeah, anybody who's going to be in a position like this, you're going to have a lot of people saying things about them. But this was something that people were telling me privately about what was going on. A lot of financial irregularities and corruption stuff going on. So I don't know if he's an FBI informant. They haven't charged him, even though he's person number one. I'm not saying that he should be charged. He didn't go there. But I also say don't trust him. I wouldn't trust him to give him any money, not necessarily because he's an FBI informant, but also because they're pushing this out there, getting right up to the line of declaring violence on people. I don't think that's the way to go. Certainly not now. That's a stupid way to go. And he says, and also the Proud Boys. He said, Terrio may be an informant, as he was apparently in the past. I think he was. I think that was one of the reasons why they came up with that nonsense charge. They said, well, you know, you were here once before and you had a misdemeanor against you, so we're going to kick you out of the district. Wasn't that convenient that he wasn't there on that day? Wasn't that convenient? Many people believe that he was an informant for that. But then he goes on to Joe Biggs. He goes, you worked with Joe Biggs. You think he's some violent SOB working for the FBI? I haven't seen Joe for many years, and quite frankly, I would be absolutely amazed if Joe had turned and was working for the FBI. I think for the time that I knew him, Joe had he had my utmost respect for his integrity. He was exactly what you saw. And so I don't have any concern. I know people have said, well, Joe Biggs was informing on the FBI. He wasn't an undercover agent in Antifa or BLM. He was contacting the FBI and saying, these guys over here are burning buildings. You need to come do something about it. It was that kind of information. That's not an informant. That's not being an agent provocateur. That's not being a spy. Joe was telling the FBI what these other people were doing. He never pretended he was one of them. That's the difference. That's the difference. But again, I haven't talked to Joe for a long, but I would be, and I've talked about the fact that the people like Joe that are being held without trial for a very long time deserve a trial. This is outrageous. They're being tortured. They're being held for excessive periods of time. This should not be acceptable for anybody. And he needs to have his day in court. And as I pointed out yesterday, you've got some judges who are saying this is ridiculous and treating it appropriately. But then you got another judge, even when the prosecutors said this person, we don't think they deserve any jail time. Says, no, I'm going to give them jail time. So a lot of this is the discretion of the judges. But you notice how this is being done by judges. Doesn't even seem to be any jury trials with any of this stuff, right? I mean, we've lost the jury trial issue. Not that even in Washington, D.C., that you'd be able to get a fair trial with the people the way they think there. But it would be better than the arbitrary and capricious declarations of judges. So let me just say this. Regardless of who's an informant and who isn't, and who's working with one group and who isn't, these two organizations, the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, are going to be places where you're going to find informants left and right. And if you set up some kind of a neighborhood thing and you start calling it a militia and you start having military exercises, you're setting yourself up to be set up. And so there are things that you can do wisely as a neighborhood watch and keep it low-key without calling yourself a militia. Those are the types of things you could do. There's things that you can do to protect your children without confronting the school board that doesn't care anything, cares nothing about what you want to do. All right, we're going to have more to say about critical race theory and communist rats when we come back. But we've got Gerald Slinty on the line, and we'll be right back with Gerald to find out what's going on with the trends. And, of course, he knows history before it happens. That's the tagline there at Trends Journal. We'll be right back with Gerald Slinty.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Not your body, what are your choice feeling when it comes like to getting the vaccination.
Or bluegrass.
They're spending millions and millions
APS
of dollars.
Radio has Hang on, you we'll covered. Get it. Check we'll out back. A wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
All right, and joining us now is Gerald Celente, TrendsResearch.com, and there you can find the excellent Trends Journal. It's a weekly publication. It's massive, covers a lot of different topics, and I think one of the best things about it, of course, it's got great information there, but it's also a great organization. They've set this up in a magazine format that is electronic magazine format, and always the super the super covers, this one right here. Yeah, life was hard, and they just made it a lot harder. Thank you for joining us, Gerald.
Oh, no, my pleasure to be on. I'm very honored to be on with you. And I, of course, I admire so much what you do and how you fight for freedom, peace, and justice. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for fighting for your Occupy Peace. And that's been going on for a long time. We still have that goal. Let's talk a little bit about economics, though. We had the unemployment numbers come out today. What do you see in the unemployment numbers? We know they're always rigged, but what do you see? What are they telling us, right?
Well, the numbers that they were estimating that there would be new job creations were between 500,000 and 700,000. They came in, what, about 194,000,
196,000.
Oh, wow. Way, way, way below what the expectations are.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the reality of what's going on. And the reality of what's going on is that they've destroyed the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that have made money are the billionaires, and all we are are plantation workers on the global plantation of Slavelandia. People say, you know, why aren't these people that are unemployed, how come they're not taking these jobs? What happened was when the lockdowns came, people started seeing what their lives were like. You know, they weren't caught in the cycle anymore. They took time off. Who wants to work for Dollar General for what, $11.50 an hour?
And wear a mask.
Who wants to work for Walmart? Mm-hmm. Who wants to work for Amazon? Who wants to work? You have absolutely no future. It's finished. Once upon a time, when I was a young man, many years ago, there was a thing called climbing up the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
You'd start at the bottom and you work your way up to the top if you had the energy, the drive, the passion, and the skills. And it wasn't about who you knew, who you bent over to, and what you, you know, said you believed in, but you didn't believe in to get your way up to the top. It was they wanted the best people. That's gone. The bigs have bought up everything.
That's right.
Merger and acquisition activity is at an all-time high. You saw those Pandora files that just came out, the Pandora letters, about how whether they're politicians, government leaders, people running corporations, little slimy, low-life pieces of garbage, scum, murderous crap like that, Tony Blair. You look at that arrogant little piece of junk, the mansions that he owns around the world, don't pay any taxes, all dirty deals done. In and out of the news. You were talking about judges before. How about those 131 federal judges that were on major cases against corporations, but hey, my family got money in this.
Yeah.
I got money in this. I'll be the judge.
Yep. Yep.
This is America. It's not America. Get this in your head, everybody listening. It's a crime syndicate. That's
right.
All it is. The banksters, the drug dealers that morons and imbeciles call Big Pharma, the big tech. Look at these little boys called Big Tech. I keep forgetting the name. You got that Cook, you got that Zuckerberg, Dorsey, and what's that clown from Google?
Sundar Pichai. Sundar Pikachu is what I call him. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at these clowns. And then, of course, you got the military-industrial complex. That Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, warned us that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, sweat of the laborers and the future of the children. And look at the clowns running the show. General, screw you. You're a general piece of crap. You are murderous little bastards. You haven't won a war since World War II. Shove your crap down your mouth. Don't want to hear it. Now we're going after China.
Yeah. That's right.
And you got this clown boy, the naval clown, coming up with a plan of how we're going to beat China in the South China Sea. You little crap heads, you couldn't beat the Taliban. You couldn't beat Iraq. Oh, maybe if we dropped nuclear bombs on them, we could have killed them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's very worrying. But, you know, I've said for a long time, Gerald, as we look at the fourth turning, this timing that we see here, you know, and the guys who came up with the term millennial and looked at it, you know, history as a kind of a cyclical thing. About every 80 years, you know, we have another reset. And, the last one we had was the Great Depression, World War II. Prior to that, we had the Civil War. Prior to that, we have a Revolutionary War. They trace it back 500 years in history. And I said, you know, when we look at this one, I think there's a lot of things that are coming together with this particular fourth turning. It's the fourth industrial revolution, a lot of other things. I wouldn't be surprised, I've said many times, if we don't have a Revolutionary War, if we don't have a Civil War, and if we don't have a Great Depression and a World War all at the same time in this particular fourth turning. And now, you know, that's why you look at what is happening with China. I think they're gearing up for that.
You're not going to. Look, you know, I've been calling China, I said the 20th century was the American century, the 21st century is the Chinese century.
Yeah, that's right.
Little slime balls, little murderous, I can't use the word, but it's a very tiny penis. Clinton, every time he got caught with his pants down, that guy, that sold us out, and Al Gore, a little daddy's boy, another arrogant little daddy's boy, another clown of nothing that brought China into the World Trade Organization, NAFTA,
mm-hmm.
losing all our jobs. You know, people forget, there was a major, major protest in 1999, in 99 to 2000, in Seattle. They called it the Battle of Seattle. Some 50,000 people took to the streets. You know what they were demonstrating? China coming into a meeting that they were having in Seattle at the World Trade Organization.
Yeah.
And they knew that the jobs going to China would destroy this country. And then they had these agents provocateurs, these guys dressed up in black, you know, in great shape, smashing windows, throwing a couple of Molotov cocktails, burning a car, and that was all the news.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know that the trade deficit that just came out just broke another record. All more crap spewing out of Trump's fat mouth. The arrogant Trump, that the only thing that he did was he promised three things in his campaign. And again, my magazine, The Trends Journal, was the first to call him a winner in May of 2016 when everybody said he'd lose.
He was going to
rebuild the infrastructure, build the wall, and a new tax plan. The only thing he pushed through was the tax plan, of which the 1% got 82% of the benefits.
That's right. Yeah, he cut taxes for the big guys, and now Biden is going to raise taxes for the little guys. You know, this is kind of a tag team match, isn't it? He creates the vaccine and funds it and makes 9 new billionaires out of big pharmaceutical companies. And then Biden pushes it out to everybody and uses it. Going back to what you started with, the unemployment figures. I mean, how in the world do they think they're going to have those kinds of good unemployment numbers when they're forcing people to be fired everywhere, left and right? That's absolutely insane. And typically, you know, they rig these, you know, as well as I do, because you watch this stuff and you watch it even more closely than I do. The unemployment numbers are usually rigged. And they revise the previous quarter so they can show a better trend. And so every quarter, you know, they fix the numbers from the last time. Say, well, we got it wrong last time, but this time it's right to make the stuff look good. They're always doing everything they can do to make these unemployment numbers look good. But the unemployment numbers look awful because he's forcing people out. He's forcing the hospitals to close, and we locked everything down because we had to protect the hospitals from being overcrowded. Now they're completely locking down entire areas of hospitals. Some entire hospitals are being shut down because of the forced firing of these nurses.
And get it, go again. Let's talk about the forced firing of the nurses. You got this little boy, another little nothing of a clown, this Lemonhead, that on the Cartoon News Network, CNN, making fun of everybody that's not vaccinated and calling, and they all do it. They say that they're Trump supporters. Hey, clown boy, hey, little jerk off over there. Nurses, why aren't they getting vaccinated? Maybe because they've seen the deadly effects of vaccines.
That's right. That's right.
Maybe because the people in healthcare, in elder care, see these people getting shot up and go down into nothing.
That's right.
That's why they're not getting it.
That's right.
And the people that are getting it are gutless people. You know, I got in a fight, I told you, right, about this guy, this lawyer, a lawyer in Kingston over here. I'm at this place called a Brickyard. It used to be an old brickyard that this top-end hotel chain came in. It's on the Hudson River and made a beautiful, beautiful place. I'm down there, you know, after, you know, you see the magazine. What's this week's 176 pages?
Yeah.
You think I got to put out that much? We're giving everything we can. So I want to go relax after I'm working really hard. And I see this guy, he's an attorney. And, you know, they see him in restaurants. They had a party one time, a birthday party. I sent over a bottle of champagne. You know, friendly with the guy. So I start talking to him. I said, man, I said, this is really bad what's going on. I said, I can't go to the city anymore. I can't go to any of these places because I don't have a vax passport. He said, you mean you're not vaccinated? I said, no. He said, well, you know, these vaccinations. Now, remember, this is a guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, no. I said, man, I said, you know, these things are brand new. I said, well, he said, no, he said, they're, you know, they had the chickenpox vaccine, the measles, the mumps, you know, these are polio. I said, no, this is a different vaccination. He said, you know, and by the way, the efficacy rate is 93%. I said, well, I pull out my money. I put a $100 bill down. I said, I'll tell you what, you're wrong on the efficacy rate. But let's go back to what you said about the vaccines, comparing it to polio, chickenpox, measles, polio. He said, no, let's go. I said, wait, you're a lawyer. So you made this statement. So as a lawyer, as an attorney, we stay on one topic at a time and go to the next one. He said, you know, I feel like punching you out.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
And I said, come on, man, you got the wrong guy. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? Come on outside. His big girlfriend comes between us. I said, you got the wrong guy. Don't you ever speak to me like that again. He goes over to the bar. I said, you're a little coward. You got a big fat mouth inside. Come on and talk to me like that outside. You said you wanted to come out and punch me out. Let's go outside and you come out and try to punch me out. Come on outside. You got the wrong guy. Don't you talk to me like that. And I said, shove that vaccine up your boom. And this is in a place loaded with people. Yeah. I'm mentioning this because these are the kind of people that are going to be pushing us to do it.
Yes, that's right.
There are more of them than us. And if we don't unite to fight this, I'm supposed to be doing a gig up in Canada in January in Vancouver. I can't go.
Yeah.
Because that little clown boy, another daddy's boy born on third base and thought he had a home run, little Trudeau up there.
I thought he was born in Cuba.
A bus, a plane, a train, no vax, no, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was born in Cuba. I thought he was Castro's son. So many people are accusing him. He does bear an uncanny resemblance to Fidel. But yeah, well, I was just talking about people that the Associated Press puts in, mothers who are angry because other students don't want to be vaccinated, don't want to wear the mask, and say this irrational minority is keeping us locked down. They're pivoting everything to those of us who don't get the vaccine. Like I said, last year it was the virus that was shutting, not the politicians, it was the virus that was shutting everything down. This year we are the virus and we are the ones that are shutting everything down, not these politicians. You see this over and over again. And it's irrational. Gerald, I mean, Walensky has come out and said it makes no difference for transmission if you get vaccinated. And yet, if that's the case, and it should go, and same thing, she says, but it'll make you, you know, it'll help you, it'll keep you from getting really, really sick or dying, so you should take it. Well, if that's the case, you take your vaccine, but there is absolutely no reason for you to, there's no rational case for you to demand that I get one if it has absolutely nothing to do with transmission. You're either protected or you're not. And these people who talk about, well, we should force this on people because, you know, we have laws that say you got to wear a seatbelt and laws that say you got to wear a motorcycle helmet, which I never agreed with. But bottom line is what they're telling me is I've got to wear a seatbelt to protect them in their car crash.
Well, you know, again, you know, they just had this big protest the last week, Planned Parenthood. And they're all holding these signs up, you know, my body, my choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm saying your body, your choice. How come you people, you hypocritical people, my body, my choice, but you're spending millions of dollars, Planned Parenthood, telling people to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
So when it becomes vaccinated, it's not my body, my choice. What hypocrisy.
And of course, it's Leanna Wen. Leanna Wen at Planned Parenthood. She's one of the worst ones, always on CNN, dictating that. You know, part of this, and I think, you know, we talk about the unemployment numbers and we talk about what is happening with the economics. I look at this and I think that, you know, Biden is deliberately trying to push us, you know, doing provocative moves to get us involved in war, doing provocative moves, even more moves to push us into depression. I believe that, you know, what Trump was doing with his executive order, enabling and funding the lockdown by these governors, creating massive unemployment of people who were, quote unquote, non-essential. Now this is being continued, being done in a different way, being even more extensive. And by doing these vaccine mandates, not only is it going to have massive unemployment, but it's going to be all over the place, and it's going to be busting up our supply lines. I mean, do you see this as a deliberate move to push us into a depression, into, as you called it, dragflation, you know, to mess up the supply lines, make it impossible for the economy to work? I mean, that's really, you know, what has been happening to us since that Friday the 13th last year.
What I see it as, this is a power play among the very, very sick people that want to seek office. As Eisenhower said, anybody could Google it up. Anyone seeking the office of president is either an egomaniac or crazy. That's the truth. Yeah. And again, I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. You've been to my place. I have pictures of me and Reagan, this one, that one. I've been around.
Sometimes they're both an egomaniac and they're crazy and they're a psychopath.
Exactly.
It can be all three of those things.
and they're power-hungry freaks.
Yeah.
The other thing, as I said, we're controlled by four groups. The banksters, drug dealers, big tech, and the military-industrial complex. So that's all it is, it's a control game. And when you look at what's happened, the billionaires got, what, $8 trillion richer since the COVID war began, and median household income in the United States declined at its sharpest rate ever. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a total power trip, and that's all it is. And they're getting paid by the drug dealers. They're drug dealers. Morons and imbeciles call them Big Pharma.
Yeah.
And I was listening to you before I came on the air, talking about Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
And look at all the crimes these drug companies, they're drug dealers.
Yes.
You're not allowed to ever speak about natural healing.
That's right.
Science is the God. Nature doesn't count. Nature's not a God. Only science is a God.
Mm-hmm. And they've got something else that they're selling you behind that false idol, aren't they? Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening with the real estate market, because I'm looking to relocate. I know you said that you were looking to cut some of your ties and get to another place outside of New York. And as I see Elon Musk moving corporate headquarters, even more things, more people from California coming into this area, I'm like looking at it, it's like I need to head to the hills, literally. So we got major, this is an article from Trends Journal, major companies storing cash in real estate. Is this a win or a lose? Talk a little bit about this and talk about one of the other things that's driving this, of course, are the very, very low interest rates. They can look at this as we're seeing big inflation in housing prices and incredibly low interest rates. This is one of the things that keeps driving housing prices up and up and up and up because, you know, they can essentially get this money for free.
So that's the deal. Yeah. When interest rates go up, everything's going to go down.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Federal Reserve knew all along that inflation was not temporary, as that lying piece of garbage, scum, crap, Jerome Powell, the head of the bankster gang, mm-hmm. had been saying for almost a year. Oh, and just to stay on the Fed thing, in and out of the news, how that guy, oh, down there, guy in Texas, that guy Kaplan, right near you over there.
Yeah.
And Rosengren up here, yeah. And all they're doing insider trading. They know what the Fed is going to do. Just before the Fed does it, they bet millions and millions and millions of dollars and become millions and millions of dollars richer. Yeah, those feds.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm resigning now because, you know, I'm not feeling too good. Yeah. Anyway, going back to them, they know inflation is going to keep going. They've been lying about it because they're going to raise interest rates. And the only thing that's keeping the fake economy going are the trillions of dollars being pumped in with cheap money. When interest rates go up, this thing goes down. So they're going to do, as I see it, a Reagan. When interest rates went up back in the 80s, Paul Volcker, the Fed guy, interest rates were like 18%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, they stopped the inflation. And then what they did, right before election time, whoop, lower them interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
Lower them interest rates. Build the economy. Hey, remember they had the crash of 87? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They artificially propped it up. Same thing happened up with George Bush Sr., you know. That guy Greenspan didn't lower the interest rates quick enough. And that's why Clinton beat him on one of those things. The other reason he won is because Ross Perot took 19% of the vote that would have gone to Bush. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be doing this. They're going to be raising inflation, going back to real estate. Commercial real estate is going to go down the toilet because at least 20% of the people are not going to go back to work. They're going to be commuting. Mm-hmm. You lose 20% of non-computer. Look, in the best of times, business is tough. Now you're losing these people. The hospitality sector, oh, conventions, trade shows, nobody talks about those anymore. They barely exist. They barely exist. You can't go to anywhere without a vax passport in so many places.
Yeah.
Commercial real estate's going to go down. The hot spots that went up very high and very fast, they're going to stay high. They'll go down a little bit, but we don't see them crashing like they did in 2008 because you don't have the subprime mortgages.
Let me interject here because you mentioned you got an article about Price Waterhouse Cooper. I call themselves PwC now. You got an article about how they're going to let everybody operate from home. That's another example of what is happening. These big corporations want to cut their costs by letting people operate from home. Talk about that a little bit.
So again, let's go back to commercial real estate sector. It's been overbuilt before. This happened in New York City, East Side, West Side, all around the town in 2019. For rent. Fifth Avenue, West Village, everywhere. For rent. It was overbuilt. And now you mentioned the article we have, and we keep putting these in every week. All the companies that are telling people, yeah, you can work from home, because what we're going to do is let's say we have 15 stories in this skyscraper. Now we're only going to have 8.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're cutting way back on our expenses. Yeah, they don't care if you're not getting as much for them because look at all the money we're saving on the other end. Now all the businesses, the restaurants, the retail, all of the hospitality sector that depends on commuting, gone. How about business travel? Oh, you could Zoom it now. Don't go over there. No. All right. Yeah. Okay. We're going to cut business travel. What does that do to the hospitality sector? So you're going to see this thing crash like we've never seen crash before. When you were talking before about the fourth turning, or what was the word you used?
Yeah, fourth turning, the fourth industrial revolution as well. So.
Yes. And how you said you put all those things together, Civil War, Greatest Depression, you're 100% right. That's what we are heading for.
Yeah, big storm. Big storm coming.
The worst part of what you said is this will be the end of life on Earth as we know it. When they asked Albert Einstein, what weapons will be used to fight the Third World War? He said, I don't know. He said, but they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the Fourth.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what we're in. Look what has just happened to our lives. As the cover of the Trends Journal said, you know, life was hard before they made it a lot harder. You know, all the stuff you go through in life with relationships, jobs, you know, on and on, health. And now they've put all these vax mandates on us, passport, all this other pressure. Who would have imagined in 2020 that we would be talking about this? It's right. Unbelievable. So I'm mentioning this because just what they did to us now, they will do to us again and again and again. We have evil people running our lives. They're demonic.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. And you look at what they are pushing for. I mean, this is going right down the agenda. These people have been talking about eradicating virtually all people on Earth for a long time. Georgia Guidestones, everything that Bill Gates is saying, and this is headed right down that path, just like it's headed down the path of the international IDs that he wanted in 2020, everybody getting vaccinated. And this has been the case, just this irrational push towards getting everybody vaccinated, regardless of what it does. You know, again, we had to lock everybody down and flatten the curve so we didn't overburden our hospitals. So now, because we got to push the vaccine, that's going to happen to everybody. So if we don't stand up, that is really what we're going to be looking at. It's absolutely insane what they're going to do. Before we move on, though, I want to get back on the economic issues here about the interest rates. As you point out, everything's really going to crash big time when they raise the interest rates. And, you know, when I saw this $1 trillion coin, before I even got into the details of what they were trying to do with the, you know, MMT, the modern monetary theory, I call it the magic money tree. Regardless of all that stuff, I looked at that and it's like, wow, that looks like Venezuela. You know, the $1 trillion coin. We've seen this kind of hyperinflation in Zimbabwe and other places like that. What do you think? Do you have any idea? They've talked about doing raising the interest rates like in 2023. You think they'll do something like that to do it before the election? Do you think they'll do it earlier than 2023?
I think they're going to do it earlier. As long as inflation keeps going, they're raising them all over the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
New Zealand just raised them. Again, they're going to have to raise interest rates as inflation keeps going up. Yeah. And when they do, that's why they're saying they're waiting, because they know that when they raise them, everything is going to crash.
Yep.
I think they're going to be forced to raise them. I didn't think they were going to. But now when you're hearing Powell and the others coming out and saying, well, you know, inflation is worse than we had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of crap. They knew it was bad from the beginning.
Yeah. But now they're starting to say that, you know, that it's stupid. Now they're starting to admit that it's a problem. When they denied it was a problem, as everybody else said, now that they're starting to admit it even tangentially, that means that they're fixing to do it, right? As we say in the South.
That's the way I see it, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. The world supply chain crumbling, a business group warns. Well, we're seeing this everywhere, aren't we? I mean, everything is messed up. And I think it's really, you know, we haven't even seen the full effects of these vaccine mandates pulling people out at random. I've talked about what happened in the UK in terms of this pingdemic that they had, where they had, had about a third of the idiots decide that they would put this application on their form that was basically geo-tracking them. And then if you were in proximity to somebody that subsequently tested positive and both of you had this app and it was tracking that, all of a sudden you get a ping and you got to go into timeout for 2 weeks. But this is much worse. And that affected them a lot worse than the initial lockdowns with the essential workers. This is much worse because this is something that is happening everywhere. They don't care how many people are being pulled out. And this is something, too, Gerald, that was known, of course, by the Republicans. We've got a lot of Republican governors who were signing emergency orders saying we're going to use the National Guard to take the places of nurses, just like this new governor, Hochul or whatever, in New York was doing. But they knew that you had the governor of Georgia and the governor of Tennessee. They were laying the groundwork to do this. They all knew that this was coming, and they didn't do anything to stop Biden from doing it. They didn't do anything to protect their people in their own state. Instead, they just started planning about how they were going to roll with this.
The reason why they did that is because they're low life pieces of crap.
Yep. Yep.
End of story. I just want to jump back into with the vaccine. Again, I tell you about the fight I almost got in with this guy who wanted to punch me out. This is the first gene therapy vaccination ever injected into human beings.
That's right. That's right.
In this Trends Journal, we have a whole article in there about gene therapy. That was from the Wall Street Journal. The dangers of it. There's a whole article in there. Never once in that Wall Street Journal article do they mention the COVID vaccination.
Really?
Which is a gene therapy vaccination. Why would anybody get this shot that was, quote, Operation Warp Speed?
Yeah.
The first gene therapy shot ever injected into people. Remember, as you were saying, it had a 96% efficacy rate as they sold it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's an article in the Trends Journal. Again, we took it from CNN, the Cartoon News Network, where they're saying now, how long does this vaccine work for? Oh, it starts declining very, very rapidly after, what, a couple of weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, that's why you have to get a booster shot?
Yeah.
We wrote back in April in the magazine that they were going to start selling booster shots because these had no efficacy that they were saying they were, because the data started coming out. Again, I mentioned to this argument I got with this lawyer, and according to the Israeli Health Ministry, the efficacy rate is what, 39%?
Yeah. Yeah, he got his number switched, right, when he said 93.
Yeah.
You just reverse those two numbers, and 93 exactly. Is 39. Yeah, it's crazy. And the other thing that's even crazier about it is that Israel, you know, Netanyahu sold his people out, said you can use them as lab rats because, you know, we didn't do a test. We didn't do a long-term test. We did a massive short-term test on everybody. These are the lab rats. So we'll give you all the data for 2 years, but you put us in there first. So they're ahead of everybody else. They get a 39% efficacy rate. So what's the solution, Gerald? Well, we'll give them yet another shot of it. I mean, that's the definition of insanity. You keep doing this. Nothing has changed about
the
shot.
Every year you're going to need one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every year you're going to need one.
That's always the plan. That was always the plan.
Get drug dealers.
Yeah.
Get drug dealers.
That's right.
Look at the money. We have the numbers in the magazine that they're making. What is it? $35 billion, $26 billion, one after another.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get drug dealers. Oh, and by the way, looks like the Palestinians are going to get back their land.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not taking the vaccine. And so and they're not getting as sick as the Israelis are. Because
no, this thing is, yeah, really, this thing, nobody, a buddy of mine, I just saw him the other night, great guy, a real man, and he's going down the list. He's like 80, he's just turning 80. The list of his friends that died after getting the vaccination.
Yeah.
Giving me the names of them.
That's right.
Do you know so-and-so died, blah, 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 blah. And of course, the CDC, if you get the shot and you die 14 days after you got the shot, you die to the vaccine. You die to COVID. You didn't die from the shot.
Yeah, they don't count you as vaccinated until 14 days after number two.
Yeah,
I remember back in January, there was a guy who was probably about 30 years old, black guy, and he did a social media video, and he was in tears about what he had seen. He said, we took good care of these people in the nursing home. Nobody died all of last year. We took really good care of them. And he said, we started giving them all the shots. And he said, within 2 weeks, we got like 14 people who died. We got other people who are catatonic and all this brain fog that can't come back. And that's another thing that we're starting to see now is prion disease. I had somebody with essentially, you know, human mad cow disease, the Yakov-Creutzfeldt disease, but also, you know, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's, brain fog, part of this with the folded prions. It's not just the blood disease, but it's that, it's the heart disease, all these different major conditions, and we're seeing them by the thousands. And this guy was saying, I just can't do this anymore. You know, he saw it happening immediately in the nursing home.
Yep.
And now I'm seeing with people that I know, I'm seeing people who are not vaccinated, but they're getting sick this year. Nobody that I knew got sick last year. I think that this vaccine is not only toxic for the individuals, but I think that it is spreading this thing around.
Yes, it's definitely spreading.
Yeah. It's not the Delta variant, it's the vaccine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, look at the people you mentioned, nursing homes. When the COVID first hit, where did it hit? State of Washington, Kirkland, nursing homes, elderly people with pre-existing comorbidities. I have a sister in a nursing home. She got last April 2020. They called me up. She said, you know, she has COVID. She didn't even know it. She's pretty much out of it. And then they called me up. They wanted to give her a vaccination. I refused to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting an argument with the nurse. And I'm saying, no. And then you know what the nurse said to me? I'm not getting it either.
Yep.
And well, going back to the vaccinations again and the people that are dying, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 78% of the people in the United States that have died are obese or overweight.
Mm-hmm.
The Cartoon News Network had this, you know, they're always pumping the vaccination. They had this video, you know, I go to the sites to see what's going on. I go to everybody's, you know, as much as I can. I want to know what's going on.
Sure.
And they had these people, oh, I wish I got the vaccination. I was so sick. And these big bloated people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like blimps.
Mm-hmm.
You're no kidding. You know, I want to have a fat tax. The more you weigh, the more you pay. I don't want to pay for your illness because according to the Milken Institute, we pay almost over $500 billion a year in extra health care costs because of the crap that people are eating and what they've become.
Well, you know,
I don't want to pay for it.
You know, it's one of the things that made me so angry yesterday was the evil about this woman who was denied a kidney transplant from her friend. She wasn't getting in line with anybody, hurts her friend, and neither one of them were vaccinated. Said, sorry, you both had to be vaccinated, and we're not going to do it. And I said, you know, have they ever done this with people? Let's just take something else. Let's take cigarette smoke, and somebody has heart disease, or they have cancer. Do you refuse to treat them because you say, well, you chose to smoke cigarettes, and so therefore I'm going to say that's the cause of your disease, and we're not going to treat you because you made that choice? We've never done anything like that before. I mean, this is just so evil to see what is being done to people. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, they have religious ethical issues about this. Whether anybody agrees with that or not does not matter. We've always respected religious liberty and conscience, and we've also respected medical exemptions. But of course, all that got swept away in 2019 when they were taking the exemptions away, and you had Trump out there saying, hey, they got to get the shots. We're going to remove exemptions, religious exemptions, medical exemptions for students in schools, and now they got to get the shots. And that was all laying the groundwork.
Yep. And, you know, people forget, you know, the Trump supporters is that, you know, Trump pushed this thing through.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, you know, I think I read it to you from our Trends Journal back in September of 2020 of how Biden and Harris came out against Trump for pushing the vaccination.
Yes.
They said they didn't trust it.
Yeah.
Because Trump was pushing it.
Yeah, but now they
and now they're pushing the same vaccination. The hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah.
And talking about religious exemptions, by next week we should have it. You know, I started the church, the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice. We're going to be offering religious exemptions for the places where you could get them. So there's are places that accept religious exemptions. So the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice will be offering religious exemptions to people that want to get them.
Well, that's good. I think we're going to have a parallel gray market society. And I think it's going to, that's really going to have to be what's going to happen. And it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to find ways to survive under this. And I think we can. Once people understand what's in place, they've never been able to, you know, with all the ridiculous stuff that they've done with the drug situation, whatever they try to prohibit, whether it was alcohol or whether it's drugs for the last 50 years, when you try to prohibit something, what you wind up creating is an unregulated free market. Now, you wind up with a lot of crime, and you wind up with a lot of corruption of government officials, but you wind up with an unregulated free market. And so when they create a prohibition of people who, and this is what it is, it's a prohibition of people. We've had drug prohibition. We've had alcohol prohibition. Now, with these mandated vaccines, we've got people prohibition. And when you when you got a prohibition of people, especially of people who have religious and medical reasons for not doing this, that's really going to galvanize people. And I think once people understand about this and once they start to see how this is going to affect them, I think we're going to create a parallel society, an underground society. And in many ways, I think it's going to be better than what we've got now. What do you think?
Yeah, we were complaining about what life was before this happened.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of stuff that's happened, that's gone away. I stopped liking any of it before. I mean, we're looking at movies. Movies are going away. Movies have been trashed for the longest time, so I don't really care if they shut the movie theaters down. I don't care if they stop making that garbage. It's been garbage for years. So, you know, there's a lot of things like this. There's social media. Go ahead and kick me off of social media. Fine. You know, I'll have to find a different way to make a living or whatever. I can't get access. And that's one of the things that they're doing to me. We've got, you know, Google going out there saying, if you disagree with us on climate change stuff, just like if you disagree with us on the vaccine stuff, we're gonna take you out. I've already been purged by PayPal. I've been purged by Venmo. I've been purged. I can't even go down the whole list of different places. But they're purging me on social media. They're purging me on banking systems and so forth. It's going to happen. But you know, it'll be better off if we don't participate in these systems. Is the bottom line. No matter what we have to go through, don't you think?
Yes, I'm with you. It's so sad what you're saying. This is America?
Yeah.
This isn't my America.
That's right.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, with the things that we're talking about, this makes Hitler look, you know, he was progressive.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And look at what, you know, Biden puts in this David Chipman, who wants to get rid of guns, is the ATF guy, absolutely wants to prohibit all guns. So if you are a gun owner, you got to be worried about that. But look, this person that he wants to put in as comptroller of the currency, this Marxist who loves Marxism and tries to sell it, you should be worried if you own anything. I mean, this is not just coming after gun owners. This is coming after people who own anything and everything. She's going to take all that away from you, and she wants to turn over the reins of our economy to the Federal Reserve, of all people. I mean,
they own it already.
Yeah.
Look at who our Treasury Secretary is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Janet Yellen. Oh, well, if a woman lives in, get out of here with this crap. Men, women, black, white, green, yellow, good and bad comes in all of them. Oh, you like Christine Lagarde, huh? Yeah. The former head of the International Mafia Monetary Fund. Yeah. Now head of the ECB. Oh, great. Yeah. One after another. We got the head of the Federal Reserve is our Treasury Secretary right in front of your eyes. They're in charge. And that slimy piece of rotten crap, Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah.
That got us into World War I and federal taxes.
Yes. Yes.
And the Federal Reserve, which is federal, as you know, is Federal Express. There are banks, the corporation.
Oh, yeah.
Not corporation, gang.
That's right.
Mob. Murderers.
That's right. Yeah, when you talk about Janet Yellen and Christine Lagarde of the IMF, I was talking earlier in the program about Robert McNamara, you know, one of these whiz kid experts, right? The expert way that he did Vietnam. And then he goes to the IMF, and everybody accused him of rent seeking because he was rolling out massive amounts of money to developing countries, not to develop their infrastructure, but to develop welfare programs. But you've got an article on Trends Research or Trends Journal with Vietnam lockdown sending business to other countries. They do an about face. Tell us a little bit about that, because I've talked about Vietnam and how it was a radical lockdown, but, you know, they didn't have anything happening in their country. They didn't do the lockdown in response to things that happened in their country. It was preemptive lockdown, but they didn't have anything happening there until they started the vaccine. Then they had an explosion. But what are they doing with the lockdown now? What is this about an about face with other businesses?
Well, let's just stay on Vietnam for just 1 second and China.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young guy, the Vietnam War was going on. We got to stop those, what's going on in Vietnam, those commies, if they take over there, the dominoes are going to keep falling and they're going to hit all through Asia and then they're going to hit California. That was that piece of crap guy. What was his name? An arrogant guard who talked like this. What was his name?
Oh, there's so many of them.
Yeah. Anyway, now Vietnam is one of our biggest countries that we get crap made in.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get it made cheap and bring it back over here. So it's okay to do business with those commies as long as we're making money off it.
Yeah.
But we're going to start wars to kill, where they kill over 3 million Vietnamese.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Agent Orange. How about all the American soldiers? I met this guy. He showed me pictures of him in Vietnam. He was with the Marines. He said, when you're dumb, when you're young, you're dumb. He said to me, I enlisted. I was 18 years old. Mm. He showed me pictures of him. And he said they were telling them that the Agent Orange that they were spraying everywhere was to kill mosquitoes.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So going back to Vietnam, now it's okay. It's still a communist country. Hey, yeah, but it's okay to do business with them because we're making a lot of money. So going back to what they did, they locked down Ho Chi Minh City. They locked down that whole area where it's a big manufacturing hub. Mm-hmm. Their economy tanked. Down like 6%. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're losing all this money. Okay, we're going to open up again. So that's what they did. They did an about face because they're losing money. It's all about the bottom line. That's just right. Like you're hearing about, oh, we're going to, you know, tensions are going in among the United States and China. Throw the hell up. BlackRock is over there. Dalio, Bridgewater Associates, one after another. They're all going into China. JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs. They're all going into China. China's economy is going to be the biggest in the world. Oh, yeah, but, you know, their birth rate is going down. Get it in your head. They got 1.4 billion people. You think they need 1.10 billion people? You think they want 110? They want more people? They don't care that their birth rate is going down.
That's
They'll
right.
balance it out. We've got 332 million people here. They got 1.4 billion over there.
That's right.
The Chinese are going to control the world because Bill Clinton and all those slimy Republican and Democratic gang members of the crime syndicate sold America out by bringing our manufacturing over there. The Chinese couldn't make crap.
That's right.
We gave them all the technology. All the manufacturing capabilities. Oh, and by the way, when you open up in China, you only could own 49% of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They sold us out.
You know, one of the other
countries is a disgrace. It's a crime syndicate. And that's why I formed the church. If we don't unite under one umbrella, we're finished. We're finished. I keep getting asked to go to these rallies and they're worthless. They're worthless. Again, the way the Berlin Wall came down is people went out and they didn't leave. People
right.
went out and they didn't leave. People went out and they didn't leave. You got to go day after day, night after night, week after week. And you have to unite under one umbrella. If we don't, we're finished.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you give freedom away, but boy, it is hard to get it back once you just give it away, isn't it? You were talking about China. I think one of the key things, you know, that has been pushed by the Biden administration is this climate change stuff. And he is pushing hard on that. We're getting higher and higher gas prices and all the rest of this stuff. But even in China, you got an article in Trends Journal, power shortages cut China's factory output. They're allowed to burn coal. They don't have any scrubbers on it. That doesn't have to be clean or anything. But they can't get enough coal. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, because of Australia, they had a fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what people don't realize is about coal burning right now is almost at 1997 levels. All these we're talking about Vietnam, all these emerging economies, Indonesia, all as they start manufacturing, they're putting in coal plants mm-hmm. because coal was a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So now it's supply and demand. Because they cut back coal production in the United States big time.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, China is now buying cotton and they're trying to get more coal even from the United States because they don't have enough production over there.
And they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to do that. And yet, at the same time, you know, we're taking off our reliable power plant generation, so we're looking at shortages happening here. That we're not allowed to have that, but to address global warming and global man-made climate change, we don't care what happens in China or in Vietnam or these other places, but we're going to use that beard to shut down America, to shut down Western Europe. I saw that they're offering big bonuses to coal miners. They're offering them up to $100,000. I still wouldn't do it if I was young enough to do it. that's dangerous, difficult work. But they're offering them $100,000 they don't have enough people. Again, common thing we're seeing to run the coal mines in West Virginia.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I went to school in West Virginia.
Hmm.
You know, I got my master's at WVU, an undergraduate at the University of Charleston. So I was in West Virginia for 6 years. I know the place very well. Wonderful people, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind-hearted people. Like me, you know, I was this Bronx mind. I was, you know. Anyway, you know, the crap that I pulled as a young guy, holy Jesus. But anyway, going back to coal, why do you think they wear masks in China? Because of the air pollution.
That's right.
The air pollution in China kills over 1.5 million people a year.
Yeah.
And right. We became the Chinese way. We used to make fun of them. Oh, locking down? Could you imagine? They locked down play. Oh, yeah, now they locked down everywhere. Hey, remember they were going to flatten the curve? Remember how that started? Oh, 2 weeks, it'll be over. We're going to flatten the curve. Yeah, flatten the curve.
Yeah.
2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years.
That's right. Yeah, they flattened everything.
Thing is going, this is going to go down very, very big and hard. And it's a criminal, again, it's a crime syndicate that's running the country. They're not politicians. It's a crime syndicate.
It absolutely is criminal. It's criminal, and it is evil what is happening. And thank you so much, Cheryl, for standing against it. Your Occupy peace rallies, and of course, it's brought on a whole new dimension now with this lockdown that began last year. People can find Trends Journal, get a sample copy of that at trendsresearch.com, I think. And an excellent publication, and as Gerald was pointing out, it is comprehensive on a weekly basis. Take a look at Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Gerald. Appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. And again, thank you for all that you do. You're a real man.
Thank you.
A real American. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. We've got just a couple of minutes, folks, and I just want to give out the name one more time. About a place, if you're looking for a nursing job, I mentioned this. This is a hospital that is in Central Texas somewhere. We won't say where it is because this is the kind of country that we live in now. We have to start operating in gray areas, I guess, right? But they don't have any unreasonable requirements if you want a nursing job. Let's just put it that way. And you can send your resume if you have a nursing situation. They're looking for staff. A lot of people are going to be doing this type of thing. This one, if you want to contact them, nursingjobs@protonmail.com. Nursingjobs@protonmail.com. Send them your resume. I want to, before we go out, I want to talk a little bit about CRT. I meant to talk about this yesterday, and I don't want to miss this for the entire weekend. And that is the corruption, another element of corruption, with Merrick Garland. I mean, if it wasn't bad enough, him targeting parents who were redressing their grievances. And I've said that, you know, I was talking about what was going on with January 6th and other things. I don't think that's an effective way to get the change. I'll just say that. I don't think it's an effective way to protect your kids anymore, to redress your grievances to the school boards in person. They simply don't care. They don't care. And even if you get a law passed by some politicians to stop that, they have declared that they're going to continue to do it anyway. But there's a financial aspect to this as well. Merrick Garland's son-in-law, his name is Alexander Tanner, but he goes by Zan Tanner. Oh, that's cute, isn't it? Well, he married Merrick Garland's daughter, and he is co-founder of a company that sells critical race theory resources, CRT, resources to schools. And it is a big business, very, very big business. As a matter of fact, since March 2020, this company that he co-founded, Panorama, has added 700 school districts to its customer base. This is the best report I've seen on this, is that Information Liberation, Chris Minahan's publication. A lot of people have reported on this. I was going to cover it yesterday, but I think the best details of this or an Information Liberation. He points out they added 700 school districts to its customer base since all this lockdown stuff and insanity began last year, nearly doubling the 800 that it had 18 months prior. In September of 2021, just recently, Panorama Education and Zan Tanner, son-in-law of Merrick Garland, raised $60 million to expand operations. October the 4th of this year, Zan Tanner's father-in-law, Merrick Garland, tells the FBI to investigate any parental interference and disruption that might impede his son-in-law's business interests. And this is very big. It's very widespread. They're making a lot of money. You know, they're raising $60 million just a couple of weeks before all this stuff rolled out from Merrick Garland. And as we pointed out yesterday when I talked to Gard, he said, you look at how this is kind of structured and how they were carefully laying all this stuff out, disruptively, iteratively, as Fauci said about the vaccine. But Panorama now is giving their CRT propaganda to 13 million students in 23,000 schools across the United States. That's about a quarter of all American students are enrolled in this hateful, racist program. And most interestingly, one of the places where a lot of these facts were found out was in Little Johnston County, North Carolina. I know it well. And you had a local reporter at the Johnston County Report that did a deep dive on Panorama. If you want to read all about it, we don't have the time to go into it, go to informationliberation.com. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.